welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, get it on. Have to get it on. No choice but to get it on. 866-901-ADAM. It is How Say You time. Whatever's on your mind, we'll hear what you have to say and respond in kind. Speaking of kind, good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Well, let's see. I just got back from Chicago last night about 11 o'clock at night, so I'm good and tired. But
You touch Oprah?
I did. We hugged.
So if I touch you, that'll be like touching Oprah.
We embraced. Yes. Yes.
How was it?
If only you were allowed to touch Adam.
Yeah, if only. Mm.
There are rules.
Oh, Oprah, let's see. Ooh, what happened? It was an entire Dancing with the Stars show. They brought back my partner, Julianne. She danced with Elio Castroneves. They did their dance. Emmett Smith did his dance with his partner. Drew Lachey did his dance with his partner. They had the judges there. They had everybody there. It was a whole Dancing with the Stars Oprah show. Couple interesting side notes. First off, when we're going out there, right before we went out on stage, a couple guys I know from ABC came up to me and said, you know, we never asked Danny Bonaducci to be on the show. And I said, yeah. Who said you did?
He said he did. Yeah, on this very radio show.
And I said, oh, he did? I tune out. And I not only when Danny talks, but when anybody talks.
Smart.
And what'd you say?
Smart.
Huh? That's my point. I tune out, and they were like, we never invited him. And he was standing there with the guy who basically runs that division for ABC, and then the other guy. And then the one guy turned to the other guy, and he said, we never invited him, did we? And they said, no, we never did. And then they said to me, where did he get that? And I said, oh, Danny gets a lot of things, a lot of places. I have no idea where.
Wow, this calls into question now, Adam. A lot of things. I don't know if I can believe
them. I gotta believe this is the only tall tale
this
he's ever told on this show, ever.
Oh, my God.
Then he went on to say that he'd asked my people every single year to do it.
And they hadn't reported that to you?
Yeah, the guy's name is John. I don't want to give away his last name, but he's a uppity-up muckety-muck over there at ABC, and he's a friend of mine. I've done other things with him, and it's funny because Jimmy has said in the past, geez, I wonder why John Sade is the guy's name, actually. Who cares? He said, I wonder why John Sade hadn't asked you in years past. You've done other things with them. They've asked you to do other things. And I said, I had no idea. Well, it turns out they had asked Baby Doll Dixon, my agent, in every year past, and he just said no. And he never told me.
Did he do the thing where he said, I can't go to Ace with that offer. Don't insult him with that.
It is
my favorite
it's
thing.
My
that he does.
Favorite thing my agent does, which is, somebody says they want me to do something and then they get it all nailed down and then he says how much and then they say how much and then he says, I can't go to my client with that offer.
It's better than saying no. It's I can't insult him.
And it's too insulting. And the thing that's funny about Baby Doll is, I'll talk to him and they'll be like, yeah, bad news. ESPN, they didn't offer much. And I'll go, well, what happened? And he'll go, well, we sat down to lunch. They made an offer. I said it was too insulting and I couldn't go to my client with that offer. And I go, how much was it? And he goes, I can't tell you. And I go, seriously, but how much? And he goes, no, it's too insulting. And I said, I appreciate you told them it was too insulting. I think that's a great tactical move, but I'm the guy who's being insulted and I'd like to know what was said. No, Baby Doll, can't tell you. Too insulting. He actually means it. So who the hell else knows what this guy's turned down in years past? But anyway, over at Lady O's show,
she hugged you.
Yes. Oh. Out there with the crew, you know, this is a vast empire. This Harpo Productions. It goes on. First off, it was 0 degrees in Chicago, like just zero. Like the walk from the limousine to the front door of the hotel, which was 12 feet, was excruciating. I couldn't feel my feet. Like, it was like crazy, nutty, novelty cold, or at least for guys that have, I went on a bike ride around Malibu on Sunday, the day before, wearing flip-flops. So it was brutally cold. Oprah, you know, has her audience. They're all whipped up. Everyone did the dancing. And we really just got marched out, paraded in a half circle in front of the audience and introduced, and that was about it. It wasn't like sit down with Oprah. It was pretty much have some of the old guys do some dances, have some sort of lucky lady do some dance with one of the dancers, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the show, meet the new dancers, applause. She talked to four or five of them. I was not amongst the four or five. And I was dying, too, because she first spoke to Priscilla Presley. And she's like, Priscilla, she would basically turn to people. You know, it was a kind of a situation where you didn't want to turn into a cluster F. Like, you didn't want her to be talking to Priscilla Presley and then you dive in and go, hello, from the corner. So I just said, well, I'll just wait my turn. I don't want to step on other people's stuff, much like if Oprah turned to me and started talking to me, I wouldn't want Penn Jillette to jump into that one. So she talks to Priscilla Presley, and she's like, Priscilla, why did you decide to do this? And Priscilla's like, well, you know, when I, you know, look back on my life, I want to say that I went out and I did things and that I led an exciting life and that I did things. And I was like, I was just going, I was all loaded up. Like when she came to me, I was like, I too, like Priscilla, have led a very uneventful life. I've barely gotten outside. You know, I've been a wallflower. Priscilla, I don't know if you've been doing for the last 30 years. I don't even know if you, have you ever been around celebrities? Have you been around? Been around the show business folks?
I hope she can handle herself.
Yeah, I don't know if she knows how to act in front of show business folk. You know, it's a different place she's from. So, I had all my lines all worked out. I was going to say, you know, she's going to ask me, you know, how'd this come about or how'd it go or what do you think? I was going to explain that essentially I've been making fun of this show for 5 years now. So for my fans, I am a Benedict Arnold, a turncoat. I'm now joining. I was going to say Oprah'd be like if you announced you were moving to Texas to start ranching cattle.
That's good.
And I had all my good stuff all right, never turned to me.
Who else did she talk to besides Priscilla?
Let's see. She talked to
other people.
She talked to Priscilla. She talked to Jason Taylor of
Dolphins.
She talked to Mario, who I didn't really know Mario was.
But he's like,
apparently like a rapper. Huge. He's huge. Evidently, you must go to Atlanta to really figure out what's going on in this country.
That's where it all happens.
Spoke to Penn Jillette, jumped in on something, said hi to Steve Guttenberg, and I think that was it. Steve Guttenberg, turns out, nicest guy ever put on the earth. The friendliest.
You put him up there with Henry Winkler.
He's the one who had a Ritter.
Nicer. Like, he literally, we were on the flight yesterday, and he was like, I'd like to have a party for everybody at my house, which is nice guy number one move.
Right.
And then here's how you know he's super nice. He goes, but I don't want to cross any lines or get into any kind of trouble. Do you think there would be an issue? People coming. I don't want to piss off the producers of the show by gathering up the cast. I don't know what the rules are if we're allowed to fraternize and so on. I thought, wow, not only is Guttenberg, you know, deciding to invite everyone to his house for a party, but he's worried what people will think of it.
I want to be at the party with Guttenberg, Priscilla Presley, and Carolla. What a salad.
Well, let's talk about Penn Jillette for a second. You were worried about your height.
Mm.
That guy's got to be 6'6" or something like that. He's a big dude.
Easily.
And a friend of yours. Kinda.
Yes. I would say we're friendly. Well, what it is
before Guttenberg came
He
on.
Hates Guttenberg. God. I mean, I'm an atheist. You know, it's the same thing that happens with the pot smokers is the same thing that's, you know, with the sane people is the same thing that happens with the atheist people, which is I announce I'm an atheist and I'd like to leave it at that. And then I get a bunch of emails and letters from folks who are hardcore atheists who are planning a march on Washington, D.C., where we drag a cross that's soaked in urine. And I say, no, listen, I'm just, here's what atheist means. I don't want to be in your club. I don't want to be in any club. It's a no club. That's what I'm saying. I know you're turning my no club into its own club. Yes. And I guess you could say, hey, everyone who's technically not a Costco member is in a club.
Right.
We're members of the not in Costco club, but hey, everyone is not a fan of the Oakland Raiders. We got a club. I'm not sure that it works that way, but
they're called parolees.
Penn Jillette, like, I'm an atheist. He hates God. He seriously drives around like a pink mini. He drives around a pink Mini Cooper with like a pentagram, you know, airbrushed on the hood or something. Like I don't actively campaign against God. I just don't believe in him. And it's the same way with the pot smokers. I'm like, look, pot should be legal. I don't mind smoking pot. I have friends that smoke pot, but I don't start wanting to make aircraft out of hemp. And again, I'm not going to storm the White House. All right. Well, people are calling in about this Dancing with the Stars stuff. Lots of folks want to bust balls, so let's talk to them. Craig?
Yes. Hi, Adam.
How say you, Craig?
Adam, I'm thrilled that you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars, but I'm also very angry that I have to watch it.
Interesting angle.
It's not that bad. Once you get into it, I think you'll like it.
Well, you know,
hopefully it'll just be for a week or two.
Oh, no. You're going all the way. Oh, no. I've got a very good feeling about
this. Yeah.
I got a good feeling.
I would consider myself above average in the athletic department, but I do not dance. I have never, ever danced. It's amazing to me when people go, never? You've never? Well, yeah, growing up in North Hollywood, in between digging ditches and cleaning carpets, I did some modern and some tap. Are you high? No, I never danced. That would have required special shoes. You know, the Corollas, we had a rule. If it took batteries or special shoes.
Forget it.
Or plugged in, you couldn't do it.
Hell yeah.
Bowling, golf, dance, ice skating. These all things took special shoes, and special shoes cost money, people. And then it's not like you can wear your special shoes to school. You only can wear your special, you know, my dad said, I will buy you hockey skates, but those will be your only shoes.
Yeah, up to you.
You have
to go to school in those.
You have to run around on your hockey skates at school in July.
You'll be wearing them to church.
Yeah, so nobody I knew even thought about it. Hey, Craig?
Yes.
But I do appreciate you watching and supporting, brother man.
I'll be voting for you.
Yeah.
And Lisa?
Yeah.
I have a strippogram for you.
Oh.
So I'm going to need your address.
Yeah.
I'm only falling for that once.
Mm. No. A good friend of yours bought this for you.
Yeah.
See how it happens?
Yeah.
Oh, can you tell me the friend's name?
You ruined the surprise, right?
Adam. Adam's his name.
That's right. Oh, there you go. That's right. We're going to need your home address. Some wet naps and one of those drip trays you put under your oven because we don't want to screw up the carpet anymore.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
Thanks, Craig.
That is the goddamn best story I've ever heard in my goddamn life. And I have a lot of good and interesting stories, but that tops them all.
I fell prey to a scammer.
Yes.
Can I tell you?
And Adam, I've been watching the Adam Carolla Project. It's really good.
Where do you see that show?
I just downloaded it last night, so...
Well, thank you. How do you download it?
I just went to Google and typed in the Adam Carolla Project download, and I found it on one of those BitTorrents like file sharing websites.
Yeah, I mean nobody from TLC has officially put it up or done anything with it, right?
Right. I probably owe somebody money.
Again, thanks. Mystery. Never put it out on DVD. Never talked about a second season. Never reran marathons. Never reran the show. It was something. There's a few things in my career and in my life I have no answer to. That and Letterman.
Why he never had you back.
Did Letterman in 1998, 1999. Kicked ass. Just killed. just killed. And 7 years later was the next time I went back. Did Man Show got huge in between that time. Jimmy went on all the time. I never came back. I have no idea. Nobody ever found out. Nobody ever knew. And the TLC shows, same thing. Everyone loves it. Everyone compliments me on it. Never gets rerun. Never gets talked about. Never gets, there has nothing to do with TLC. It's like, it is one of those stories where you think somebody's wife saw it and didn't like something and did something to it or something. There's a story there. Right. I don't know what it is, and I'll never know. All right. We have a lot more of your calls to take care of, so please hang on. I have more stories to tell from the road. I just got back from Chicago, Lady O's place, to be exact. Whole time I was traveling, I was doing a lot of this. Where's your destination? Chicago. Okay, sir. You don't want to know why I'm going to Chicago? No, I'm just taking the tickets. So no curiosity whatsoever as to why somebody might be going to Chicago. Well, there's 350 people on that plane that are all going to Chicago. I'm assuming they have business in Chicago. Not my kind of business. Still don't want to know why I'm going to Chicago. Okay, why are you going? Well, no, if you're going to twist my arm. Got to do Oprah.
Oh, same as that Gutenberg guy just took his ticket from.
Ah, Christ. Had a great conversation with Dr. Drew. You know, I'll tell you that story. Yeah. I'll tell you that story, too. All right, your stories, my stories, our stories next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now a peek into the incredibly disturbing mind of program director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get your woman on the floor. On today's show, we'll talk to rap superstar Coolio. From The Tonight Show, Howard Stern's old sidekick, stuttering John Melendez. Comedian Sarah Silverman. A Wednesday edition of Music Monday. And more highlights from the Ace Man's visit with Oprah. Hey, Jack Man visited with Oprah yesterday, too, if you know what I mean. And by Oprah, I mean my junk. And by visited, I mean masturbated past the point of chafing.
It's funny because it's true. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I got your calls to take. My experience. Well, let me say this. Yes, I just got back from Chicago late last night from doing Lady O's show. Got a gift bag.
Ooh, what's in there?
I have not cracked it yet. Did not want to pop the hymen on it. I'll let my wife do that.
That's nice.
Let her penetrate it. I had a funny conversation. Well, Dr. Drew, I got a couple calls. I got a call from Dr. Drew on Monday. Immediately wanted me to be on his show. And Drew's so cute. You know, Drew's like, I was talking to Drew and he's talking about Dancing with the Stars and how Dancing with the Stars came about and Dancing with the Stars this and Dancing with the Stars that. And then I said, well, Drew, I got to wrap it up because I got to get to the airport. And he said, where are you going? And I said, Chicago. And he said, fine. And I said, don't you want to know what I'm doing in Chicago? As I said to every single human being I met between the time I found out I was going to do Oprah. And, he said, why are you going to Chicago? And I said, I'm going to do Oprah. And then he said, now we had been talking about Dancing with the Stars for 20 minutes,
he
right?
He just spoken to Gutenberg half an hour earlier.
And he said, oh, you're going to Chicago? I said, yeah. I said, I'm doing Oprah. I said, you're doing Oprah? I said, yeah. What for? I said, I invented a new sports bra. He's like, you did? I was like, no, you retard. I'm going for Dancing with the Stars. He's like, oh, how was I supposed to? I was like, Drew, yeah, me, yeah, here's why I'm going to Chicago. There's a widower whose wife died in Iraq, and we're, me and Nate Berkus, we're going to remodel his rumpus room so his kids will have a place to play. Of course I'm going there for Dancing with the Stars. How often do I do Oprah, by the way?
Once.
Yes, and that is only once. And all I did was walk up there and stand there like a stooge.
That's enough.
While they pointed us out. Well, I'll tell you what it's enough for. It's enough so I can fill my dance card.
Right.
Because I'm weird. I don't have a lot of, I don't like walking down the red carpets, and I don't have a lot of publicity stuff in me. But I do realize that one day when nobody believes I'm in show business, when I'm working at some True Value hardware store that's outside of Battle Creek, Michigan, and I'm in my 60s, and they say, come on, you're never, and I'll go, I did The Tonight Show, I did Letterman, I did Oprah. And I did Kimmel 127 times in 2 years.
Which, by the way, he gets all of the dancers after they lose or mm-hmm. Dancing with the Stars.
You know, it'd be nice to see what his set looks like. Yeah. Rachel?
Yeah.
How say you, my dear?
I have to say, I've been listening to your show for like 2 years now. And the first thing I thought of when you announced this was, A, this is great. But B, what the hell are you going to do about your profuse sweating?
I thought that had been surgically repaired to some extent.
Well, what happened to me is, it's one of the things I want to just scream from the mountaintop all the time. I had and have always had a sweaty forehead. My forehead would just sweat. And, you know, people do that thing where it's like, oh, you're nervous, or oh, you're drinking too much coffee, or you're this, or you're that. I'm no more anything than anybody. I just happen to sweat a lot from my forehead, just like some people have big hips and some people have bald heads. And some people have bad breath. Nobody in this room. And some people have a little funkier BO, and some people are taller, and some people are shorter. We love to assign a whole bunch of stuff to a whole bunch of stuff that we can't control. My forehead would sweat a lot. That's just the way I was. The problem with that is, A, it's horrible for the camera, and B, people think you're high on drugs or you're nervous as hell.
Right.
The reality is, when you go, let's say, on a TV show, you have nerves. Hmm. Everybody has nerves.
Sure.
I mean, you have a little adrenaline. You have a little adrenaline pump and whatever. Now, I've done 1,000 shows, and my teeth don't chatter, and I don't stutter, and you never see any signs of nerves. But my forehead would sweat like your underarms might sweat if you're in that situation. Even if you weren't nervous, there's still a difference. Your body knows there's a difference between you just sitting on the sofa watching TV and you sitting next to Jay Leno while 5 million people watch you. So there is a surgery. They can do things and they can zap things and they can essentially shut the sweat supply off to your head.
I think you should do like a bedazzled headband.
Because
I think it'll catch on.
Head is starting to come back a little bit, but they can give you a thing where they do it. Now, here's the problem. You do compensation sweating.
Okay.
I, who never had sweat under my armpit, I was the only guy you've ever seen who's walking around mopping his forehead off with a bone dry armpit. You don't normally see that. That's who I was. Now my armpits sweat. So I dried up my head.
It's got to come out somewhere.
But it's got to come out somewhere, and it's now coming out of my armpits. So I basically just told them, look, they have things they can, like, essentially maxi pads.
Right.
They essentially tuck under there. But to me, just, you know, you wear black jackets and black this or white, you know, it's kind of in the color.
Right.
If you wear like a burgundy shirt and you raise your hands, it'll look like two black spots.
Green, I imagine, is pretty bad, or blue.
Things like that. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to test it out because I don't want to be pitting out.
Right.
Luckily, the sequins will take up. We'll wash all that out for the camera.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I worked with Drew Lachey, who won Dancing 1 year. He co-hosted with me a couple times. And
yeah, he told me that, by the way.
Oh, he did?
He said you're really nice.
Oh, thanks.
I straightened him out.
He sweat right through his blazer and just swapped it out. Just one of those people who sweats.
You mean working with you?
Yeah. I mean, you're also under lights. And like you said, it's a slightly elevated environment when you're working.
Yeah. Here's the problem with sweat. There's two things that people, here's the problem. A, they associate it with nerves.
Yeah.
And I'm not a nervous guy. I've done every show under the sun, and you've never, if you can go back and watch the tape, there's no foot tapping and teeth chattering or anything. I'm completely composed. But when people see you sweating, they think you're nervous. And then the other thing they attach it to is smell.
Yeah.
And I don't smell. I can sweat till my shirt is sopping wet, go to bed with it, wake up with it dry the next morning, and the shirt doesn't smell. So I don't get the funk, and I'm not nervous, but yet when you're sweating and you're, and then the sweating begats sweating.
Right.
You end up going, oh, Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Stuttering John. Linda's, oh, he's calling in at 6:35. What ends up happening is you're standing around, you're talking to Oprah, and you feel a bead of sweat on your upper lip. And then it's like, oh, dear God, now I'm sweating. And now it's on.
Right.
All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. I appreciate you guys all wanting to bust my chops over dancing. But we got Stuttering John coming up, and we got to talk to him. So we'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
February 28th, The Adam Carolla Show broadcasts live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. Want to join us? Go to adamcarolla.com to register to win a two-night stay at the Palms Hotel and Resort. Check out the broadcast Thursday night. And Friday night, see the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones live at the Palms Hotel, February 29th. Go to adamcarolla.com to register to win tickets. And we'll see you in Las Vegas. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Stuttering John Melendez on the phone from Howard Stern. And now, when I say now, it's probably been 4 years with the Tonight Show.
Four seasons.
Stuttering John.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. Good to speak to you.
Thanks for having me on.
4 seasons with the Tonight Show.
4 years. Could you believe it?
No, and the whole thing, and I never really did get the whole story, sounds like a very unlikely pairing.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I stutter as your announcer.
And not only that, but just a Howard Stern guy going over. I mean, so Stuttering John, let's go way back to the beginning.
Okay.
How does it all begin? When do you start with Stern? How do you make that meeting? And then we'll get to the part where you're working with Jay Leno.
Okay. So we have time.
Sure. We got all the time in the world for
I'm
you,
John. I'm a stutterer, Adam. This could take all day. Well, the Stern show, I was going to NYU, and I was an intern. I mean, I had a friend there, Mitch Fatale. Do you know him?
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I know him.
All right, because he's a comedian that, like, has, you know, done a bunch of shows. But anyway, he was a friend of mine at NYU, and he was interning for Stern. And he said, I said to him, hey, go, you know, if you're ever going to leave, please hook me up. And thank God he got into a major car accident. And then he went and told Howard that he had a guy, and the only problem is that he stutters. And Howard went, problem, I'll hire him in a minute.
Right. That's now, what year is this?
That's 1988.
88.
Yeah.
So you go and you start off with Stern, and Stern immediately walks around, finds everyone's foibles, exploits them, and throws them on the air, right?
Yeah.
So immediately became fodder for Stern, and that's 88. And that, now, I don't know what you would say the pinnacle of Stern's career would be, but to me, I would say those years probably between 1990 and 2000, or, you know, the top 3 years feels to me like early 90s, 92, 93, and 94 or something.
When I started in 88, like, we were only on in New York and Philly.
Right.
And then probably around 95, we were in L.A., Washington, I mean, everywhere, you know. So, yeah,
right.
I agree with you. I say from 90 to 2000.
Were the pinnacle years. So there you are. And even though it's not the Stuttering John show, you're almost a household name at this point. Now, is this translating into any money for you?
No. I mean, the truth is, Adam, and you know how, you know, radio, well, you get a lot more than I ever did. But, you know, for me, my first salary at K-Rock was $10,000 a year.
Right.
And that was in 1990.
Yeah, and here's how radio works normally. Radio works, here's one guy, here's Howard Stern. We'll pay you $31 million a year. And then you go, how about number two? You'll get $4,000 a year.
Exactly.
That's how radio works. It's not like in other companies where, well, the head guy's getting $1 million and the guy beneath him's getting $750 and the guy below that guy's getting $500. There is a free fall before you get to the next pay guy. And if that next pay guy isn't you and you're two guys under that next pay guy, you go from literally guys getting paid minimum wage sitting next to guys who are making $4 million a year.
Exactly. Things haven't changed that much.
Right. I know.
Because it went Howard, Robin, you know, Fred, Jackie, then you had Gary, then you had me.
Right, and there was probably a pretty big drop-off between even Gary and you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, like, me and Gary would do these, I mean, ridiculous appearances to make ends meet. I mean, Gary would be, like, hosting topless clubs, you know. And I remember standing behind him and going, this is the producer of the biggest radio show in the history.
Things haven't changed that much.
Yes, you start farming, or I should say whoring, yourself out on the weekends so you can make ends meet.
Yeah, because... I mean, Gary was a clown at a rodeo.
And wow. also you're living in Manhattan, or you're at least working in Manhattan. If you're working in Idaho, maybe the 12 grand a year you're getting can get you by, but this is New York City, baby. This place ain't cheap.
No, exactly. So that was, you know, and then when you heard the E! Television show was, Adam, you'll love this story. So the E! Television show is coming around. So you go, all right, so I can supplement, you know, my horrible radio income with some great television income. You know what my first salary for a year on E was? $10,000 a year.
That doubled your radio salary.
$200 a week.
I know. I got to, even when I was hosting Loveline for my first year, the program director offered to make me the highest paid part-time employee of the station, which would be like saying you're the tallest midget in Munchkinville.
What kind of dough was that?
I don't remember what it was, but I remember having a great answer for him, which was, I said, look, I didn't get into radio to make money. I got in it to speak my mind, and I got in it to talk to people. But I also didn't get into it to make other people rich. So I'm not saying give me if there's $10, give me $10. But if there's $20, I want $20. And whatever that amount is, that's what I want. I don't want more than I'm worth. I don't want more than you have. And like I said, I will do it for free if there's no money, but I know there's money and it's more than whatever it is you're offering.
Well, that was like, Adam, just to jump a little bit. My biggest, like, triumph leaving the Stern Show was when I went to the general manager, Tom Chiasano, who was probably the cheapest guy on the planet. And when I went to his office and just said, hey, Tom, I just want to let you know I'm giving you my 2 weeks notice and I'm leaving. And he just crouched over and he hunched and leaned over towards me and went, no way. You know, and it was like the best moment. You know, I was just like, yeah, I'm out of here and I'm doing the Tonight Show.
I gotta say too, and Stuttering John will back me up on this one, they're not exactly like, they wouldn't make good coaches or scouts in like the Yankees farm team.
No,
because I've had guys look at Carson Daly, you know, at a 24-year-old Carson Daly, at a 26-year-old Jimmy Kimmel, at a 29-year-old Adam Carolla, look them in the eye and go, look, if this is between you wanting another $2,500 a year, you can hit the bricks, buddy, because we don't need your ass.
All at the same station.
All at the same station. I mean, seriously, like, Jimmy was probably getting paid $62,000 a year, and if he had said, I'm going to need $70,000 a year, they would have went, well, have fun. Adios.
Adam, I remember once Chiasano, like, part of my raise, my big $10,000 raise, was giving me life insurance for me and my family. Okay? Now, he convinced me that was worth $10,000. 2 months after I get the raise, he says, the policy has changed. Now everyone has to buy their own health care. So he took it away from me. I went, Tom, this was my deal. He goes, well, if I give it to you, I have to give it to everybody.
I mean,
this is the kind of guy that you're dealing with.
But then, John, how does the Tonight Show? Now, I know Stern probably made fun of Leno.
I think
for
there was a pretty serious beef.
1,000 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where did this come about? How did it come about?
Well, as you know, Adam, I remember like one of the times when you were on the show, we were discussing my big boxing match I was having with Crazy Cabby.
Right.
Where I bought the, where I fought the 260-pound Neanderthal ex-army guy just so I can make some extra cash.
And beat him up, by the way.
Yeah. And yes. I remember you and Jimmy came in to analyze if I had a chance.
Right.
Because you used to be a boxer.
Right.
But, you know, I would do these things. So finally, I would do these extra things to make extra money because I wasn't making, you know, I got kids. I'm Puerto Rican. I start, you know, like, you know, way before I got married. And, you know, mm-hmm. so of course, I'm like, you know, I got to do something. So this show comes about on ABC. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here.
Right. I remember that. I remember you doing that.
And, you know, they, you know, like offered me this thing. So I asked Howard if it was okay if I did it. And it's weird because he was telling me that you and Jimmy had a similar show idea.
Well, me and Jimmy, and when I say me and Jimmy, I mean Jimmy and Jimmy. Jimmy pulled me aside. Well, he didn't have to pull me aside. We were joined at the hip. But we were sitting in our man show office or Crank Anchor's office. I can't remember if it was the same office. I don't remember what we were working on. He said, I have an idea. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's called Has-Been House. And I said, how does it work? And he says, we get a whole bunch of celebrities. You know, we get MC Hammer and we get Hey Arnold Kid. And we get all the washed up celebrities from like the 70s and 80s sitcoms. And we put them all together in the same house. And this is before Surreal Life came out. But it was like a month before and we had not even heard of it. It was purely his idea. That's why when people say somebody ripped off my idea, I say occasionally because we're all humans and we share the same brains, essentially, we come up with the same ideas. But that was Jimmy's. Jimmy's was Has-Been House, I believe.
So that was like Howard was like, I don't mind if you do it, but I think I'm supposed to do this same show with Jimmy and Adam. And then finally, you know, he said he would look into it. And it turned out it was a different show thing. God for me.
Right.
So then I was able to do it. So I went out, you know, in a jungle in Australia for 2 weeks. And
I watched.
Yeah, and that was on ABC. And, like, thankfully it got the show the side where I'm not being obnoxious asking celebrities crazy questions.
Right.
And I guess, you know, the whole time I was there, I was on the cot because it was a lot of downtime. And I'm praying. I hope Jay Leno's making fun of the show.
Right.
And I hope I could be a guest because, you know, it was always my dream to be a guest on The Tonight Show.
Right.
So I make it to the last day, and my wife's she flies in there, and then I like you know I get out of the jungle, and she goes, I got a surprise for you. I'm like what? She goes, you're booked on the Tonight Show tomorrow night, and I got like chills, you know, I get chills every time I tell a story. I'm like, really? So we flew straight from Australia to L.A. I wrote the jokes I was going to tell on the way to the show, and then I did them, and Jay and I had a good rapport. And as soon as the segment was over, the executive producer and head writer came over to me and offered me a correspondent job.
Wow, and the correspondent, but not announcer.
Not announcer, so because the correspondent was not nearly, you know, as much money, and because I wasn't going to move my whole family out to L.A., you know, with only, you know, a small amount of money, and plus,
right.
Like, you know, Howard would never have let me, at least according to Gary, I asked Gary and I asked Robin, you know, Howard would never let me do correspondent stuff for Jay and be on his show.
Can I ask you this? Because, you know, my staff may have some of the same problems with me and not have had the courage to ask, but did it ever bother you that Stern, and we all know how much Stern is making now, but Stern back in the day was making a lot of money. And I mean probably 20-something million dollars a year. Did it ever bother you that you're making $28,000 a year or $41,000 a year? Your boss is making $30 million a year. Tom Chiasano says, sorry, I can't get you up to $45,000 a year. Your boss is saying, hey, man, I'm a big fan of yours and I love you being part of the show, but hey, what are you going to do? Did you ever think, expect, or hope that the boss man would kick something down to you?
Of course, Adam. I mean, listen, you know, I love Howard and all, but my biggest beef has always been on that show that, you know, they just don't take care of people financially. And it was, you know, like people always get mad at me, you know, I'm a sellout because I left the Stern show. But the truth is, man, I got three kids, and, you know, I want to move up in this business. And, you know, I can't make this kind of money for the rest of my life. It's hard. You know, I'll be out doing stand-up every weekend, you know, and, yeah, right. It bothered me. And it
bothered you that Stern personally didn't reach out to you financially.
Well, you know what? this is the thing. I mean, he always said he doesn't want to get involved in people's salaries. But you know what, man? At some point, I think you do.
Well, look, it's you know, as the guy who's the boss of this show and probably, well, has done it to a mild extent with many people that work on this show, I can tell you it is a slippery slope. Because what happens, and it's happened here, you start chipping in for Bald Brian's salary, and then you start chipping in. Didn't I do that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you start chipping in for Mike August the Booker's salary, and then the next thing you know, you're talking to the boss, and the boss says, yeah, they want you to go out to Seattle for a meet and greet, and you go, okay, where's my plane ticket? And he goes, oh, no, you get that. You know, there becomes this sort of expectation of, oh, hey, you want a dunk tank for strippers? Go ahead and get it. You know, you become the guy. They start looking at you as the guy who should do it.
I can see why he had to draw that boundary. I wonder, John, where do things stand now between you and him?
Well, wait, Adam, just to further answer your question. Okay, that's all. Like, I didn't look at him bitterly then, but the only problem I had was then when you would go out and do these ancillary gigs.
Right.
He would then be angry that you're doing them.
Right. And yes. Now he
and
can't
that's where
begrudge
it becomes
you.
The problem because in other words, he's saying, I'm not going to pay you. I'm not responsible for your pay. But if you do these other gigs, I'm not very happy with you to do them. So now you're, and that's your opportunity to make money.
Right. You come in Monday morning a little hungover because you are following Tommy Lasorda around asking him why he put the weight back on, which was one of the best bits ever.
Adam, I love that one.
I love that one too. Does he have to give the money back to Slim Fast? Yeah. And yes, now he's PO'd because you're out trying to make a buck that night. Oh man, almost out of time. Where did it go? Hey, let's give you a plug so you can make a buck now.
Hey, Adam, I had a great time, and it's a shame. There was so much for us to talk about because I know you have this movie, The Hammer, coming out.
Oh yes,
and that's March 7th and
March 21st, by the way. But I know we changed the date, but I appreciate it, Stuttering John.
Well, no, because I you were on the show playing a clip, which is a very funny clip, and the reason why I bring it up because you and I are in somewhat the same boat. Because I got a movie coming out too in April.
Ah, well, tell us the name of that.
I sold it to National Lampoon. It's called National Lampoon Presents, One Too Many. It stars me and Jeffrey Ross, who you know.
Ah, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Jeff, the King of the Rose.
And he plays my best friend Adam. I got to tell you, this is he's actually a good actor, man. He kills in the role.
I know. He comes in here once a month playing the part of a sleepy stone insult comic, and he nails it.
Every
so
time.
That's April 10th?
Actually, the premiere, which I hope you come to, is April 10th, and it comes out April 15th on DVD.
I absolutely will, and, I'll see you at the Tonight Show, I think March 19th or 20th or something in there.
Yeah, you did a great job on the show, and I wanted to tell you, because you were telling the story about the Hispanic nanny, and I'm in the same boat here. I got a Hispanic nanny, and my kids' first words are like, agua.
Yeah, that's what they do. And you know, it says like when they want another little goldfish cracker.
Mas.
It's so crazy.
Funny. All right, Adam, before I go, I just got to plug this. And this is great for you and all your listeners. And totally legit if they call this number now to get a 3-day, 2-night complimentary hotel stay in Las Vegas. And also 2 tickets to a Las Vegas show.
And you have the number?
Yeah, and I'm going to do a screening in Vegas. So in April. So call this number, 866-50-GET-IT. That's 866-50-GET-IT. And it's great, man. It's a free room, 3-day, 2-night complimentary hotel stay, and 2 tickets to a Vegas show. And it's it's a cool thing. And soon in April, I'll be doing a screening. I hope you come in.
I will absolutely be there, or Jeff will guilt me to death. April 10th. All right, so John, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, and good times, buddy.
Come on again, because we have so many things that we could talk.
I'd love to get into it. Stuttering John Melendez, everybody. T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl. Tease it.
American Idol finally, truly began last night. It's down to the final 24. Some were great. And maybe there's a new Sanjaya.
I thought the performance was verging on grotesque.
Quick break. Back with the news next.
This morning, we'll sit down with rap star Coolio.
Yeah, my boy.
Have a little chat with Sarah Silverman.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
to a special Wednesday edition of Music Monday, the songs to play and not to play when you're popping the big question. Adam will talk more about his appearance on Oprah and the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars.
And I'll be dancing about, and I'll be expressing myself through the majesty of dance.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Way.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Dance, bitch.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, T, you heard the mandate. Dance, bitch.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Barack Obama was handed his 9th and 10th consecutive wins yesterday. He picked up wins in Wisconsin and Hawaii. Now, the Clinton campaign is accusing Barack Obama of plagiarizing some of his recent speeches. He gave a campaign speech in Milwaukee on Saturday. Monday, the Clinton camp pointed out that the speech was very, very similar to that of one of Obama's friends, Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts, a speech he gave back in 2006. That was the speech, "All I Have to Offer Is Words." And then he goes on to quote some famous American speeches. This is another example, and I'll, you know, you tell me what you think. First, you're going to hear Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, and then you're going to hear Barack Obama. Patrick was in 06. Obama was this year.
I am not asking anybody to take a chance on me. I'm asking you to take a chance on your own aspirations.
I'm not just asking you to take a chance on me. I'm also asking you to take a chance on your own aspirations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying the band, uh-huh.
Oh.
They had that song, Take On Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, let me tell you something. There's three kinds of ripping people off. There's the, hey, we just happen to think of the same joke or the same speech or the same idea. It meant nothing. Then there's, that's the totally innocent one.
Right.
Then there's the one where you hear somebody say something and you agree with it and you like it and you find yourself saying it a year later or 6 months later or later that day, not intentionally ripping them off, just being attracted to it.
Sure.
You know how, like, I don't know, someone will work in a phrase or they'll work in the title of something or they'll even work in a personality. And the next conversation you have, you'll work that in too. Mm. I don't know if it's conscious or not, but there's a certain amount of mimicking.
It is.
We do as human beings. And then there's the blatant ripoff, which is, I know I'm ripping this person off and I'm going to do it anyway. I don't think people do as much of, I know I'm ripping this guy off. Because if you know you're ripping the guy off, you expect to get busted.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to hide when you're Barack Obama giving a televised
speech. Don't the hell
use
speechwriters anyway? This is all charade. Who cares?
Right. So somebody else writes it, and maybe it was the same guy, or maybe they knew each other, or maybe the guy liked it, or what have you.
They are friends.
Now, who cares? And by the way, Barack's going to win this thing, right?
He has taken a lead.
Pulling ahead.
We said a week or so ago, we were talking about it, and you were telling me that Hillary had more delegates.
That was the last day she was ahead.
That must have been the last.
That was the very last day she was
ahead. 10 minutes she was ahead.
There's still Texas, and she's really banking on Texas.
Mm-hmm. But that's a small state, so I don't think it's going to work out for her. I think Barack has stolen her thunder, and he will be... I think Barack's going to be the next president because, you know, McCain or his people are really, I think what McCain has going against him is 8 years of a Republican we weren't so happy with. We don't want 12 years of a Republican in the White House. So I think Barack's, I don't know, if I was a betting man, I would say he has a 70 to 75% chance of winning. Now, that sounds high, but here's how it works. I'm pretty sure he's going to beat Hillary. And then I'm pretty sure he's going to beat McCain. So in a way, it's high. But on the other hand, it's sort of like, well, you know, they're going to beat this team. Right. And then, you know, they're going to beat the next team.
Based on matchups.
Why is that so high that they're going to be in the Super Bowl? Yes.
Thus, our next president, you say, will either be a man of color or a woman. 75% chance
of
that happening. Barack Obama and Senator Clinton will be debating in Austin, Texas tomorrow. And a lot of people say, although people respond to Obama's message, that Hillary Clinton is actually better in a debate. She has more detailed responses. Mm-hmm. She's thought out her policies better. She gave a speech at a rally in Ohio. She's attempting to get some support there. And what happens if you throw a chant and nobody comes?
Mm-mm.
We need an agenda that people are excited about again in America. We need to believe that we can, we will solve our problems. Now, I believe that we can set those big goals again.
We're here.
Yes,
we're queer.
Yes, we will.
No one's joining.
Yes, we will. 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 And here's what we will do together.
Wow.
She really stuck with it.
She did.
Got to hand it to her.
Look, I didn't see the makeup of the crowd, but if you have a bunch of white people there wearing Birkenstocks, you can't get it together. You need some brothers.
Then she said, let me get some action from the back section.
You get a chant.
Finally, Kyle.
You get a chant going. Also, it's tough. Going into the chant, easy. The part where you break out of the chant, it's tough because your first sentence still has to be in the sing-songy chant.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Will the Mercedes with the lights on in the parking lot, license plate, zebra, cobra, tango 5, will you shut your light? You can't just cut it. You can't snip it.
Too abrupt.
You have to sort of coast to a stop with it. She had to coast out of that chant. All right.
On American Idol last night, the top 12 guys threw down, and the men are very good this year.
Mm.
And you know the website Vote for the Worst.
Sure.
They try to get America to keep the worst singer in the contest. Last year it was Sanjaya, and he was in for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
He really couldn't sing.
Right.
Aside from being odd. He really couldn't sing. Well, this year, they've chosen Danny Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
And their website says Simon...
He's gay!
Little bit effeminate.
Oh, my God.
Simon obviously hated him the most, which is why we love him the most.
Uh-huh.
Next week, Danny, really get out there and piss Simon off more and pick a really funny song. His voice... Here's the problem. He's no Sanjaya because he can actually really sing. His performance was, it was a little... As Simon said, grotesque. Here he is singing some Elvis. He sounds fine.
I was lost in thought because I was standing on stage staring at Priscilla Presley and Oprah 19 hours ago. And I was just thinking, you know, Priscilla's going to head down to her mailbox today and she's going to open an envelope. There's going to be $250,000 in it. And it's going to be, huh? Where'd this come from? Oh, the gay guy on American Idol. He sung your old hubby's song.
Sang that song about prison sex.
There were two Elvis songs last night. She's going to get two checks.
Remember that guy you met in Germany when you were 14? Yeah, he OD'd on the pot a few years back. That's where the check comes from. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, she will get two checks.
Yeah.
I'll play you one of the good ones, and then we'll get to Dancing with the Stars, because there's much to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Much to discuss. An early favorite.
Really?
I've got the betting odds from Vegas.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I'll force you to listen to some more crap from American Idol. Michael Johns, he is one of the many ringers on Ringer Idol this year, who's previously had a record contract. The rules are you can't have a record contract currently. But you can have had one, like the girl Carly Smithson, used to be Hennessy. And Michael Johns had a band, and they had a contract with Maverick, which is Madonna's record company. He was the last singer last night. He sang Light My Fire. The judges loved him. Here's what the judges had to say about their beloved Michael Johns.
I would say, Michael, you are the most consistent contestant we've had. Every one of your auditions I've loved. Yeah. I didn't like it as much as Bohemian Rhapsody, by the way, because I think you were over trying. But you have the natural charisma of a lead singer. You have just got it.
And by the way, somebody else got a check for that, and I think it's the family of the chick who married Jim Morrison, who's not here anymore.
Yeah. She gets the royalty on that?
Not her. Her mom and dad
do.
Yeah, I don't know why I think that. Huh. God, that'd be awesome if other things worked that way. Like 40 years from now, some guy goes up there and like last comic standing and he's like, oh, man, what's going on with these red turn arrows? All of a sudden, my son gets a check in the mail.
I am not kidding you when I tell you that last week I got a check. And you know the shape the residuals checks,
they come long.
You know it's a residual.
Yeah.
And I was, this is going to be great because I just bought a sweater I probably didn't need. And this is going to be probably the same amount. And I opened the check. I'm not kidding you. 3 cents.
3 cents. Wow.
For something I was going to say.
Yeah, my step grandfather wrote a movie called The Mole People, and he'd get stuff for 8 cents and stuff. Look, here's my feeling to the good folks over at the Writers Union Academy or whatever, SAG-AFTRA. Wait till it gets into double digits.
Right. Yeah.
Wait till it gets to 10 cents or up.
Sure.
Keep the 3 center. The next 9 cent residual check you get, go ahead and add those. Now I got a weekend.
Yeah.
It cost him 41 cents to send you a 3 cent check.
And that's my money in dues. So I feel like saying, you know what? You keep it until it reaches a buck, and then it'll be worth it to send it.
Then T, going down to the bank, is like, all right, I'm going to put I'm gonna put 1 cent in my T-bill account. I'll put one in my checking, and then I'll just take one back, and they give her a penny, and then slides it back. Goes, can I have change for that?
You know, I thought about putting it in the bank, and I did not.
Wow.
It is weird throwing a check away.
Mm.
You know? I don't want to tell the universe I don't need this 3 cents.
You're getting a bagel at the next meeting. It's a big step for you.
Yeah, but you guys always leave me the jalapeno. The Goyim love so much.
Yeah.
All right, so the big announcement about Dancing with the Stars was on Dance Wars, which I know is a show you never miss because you love a dance war.
I love combat, and I love it expressed through dancing.
Well, they did. Actually, I thought it was very clever. They did Dance Center, which was supposed to look like Sports Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Mayne.
Oh, really?
You didn't see this?
Well, no.
Yeah. You were en route to Oprah.
No, here's what happened. No, it was waiting on my TiVo when I got home. I got to say, I know I never stop talking, so people think I have, I don't know, high self-esteem. And as I say all the time, I have no self-esteem. I got home last night about 10 o'clock. I missed my beloved TiVo. I turned it on, and I was looking at the shows that were waiting for me, and one of them was Dance Wars. And I thought, I could watch Dance Wars and fast forward to the part where they announce
That's what I did.
My name, or Top Gear, a really cool car show out of England, is also on, even though it's a repeat from like 1997. And I said, I'll watch that show. And that's what I watched. So I mean, I can't tell you people how uninterested I am in my own life as it pertains to the showbiz side of my life.
That's a tease.
I'm very interested in your life as it pertains to Dancing with the Stars.
Well, thank you.
And here is, again, they did like a fake Sports Center. It was Dance Center, Kenny Mayne, Jerry Rice, and Lisa Rinna. And here they are announcing you.
Next up, Adam Carolla.
Well, there you go.
Oh, where's the rest of it?
Oh, there's more?
Well, there should be.
All
that's
right.
All you had.
Did they make some comment or something?
You know, they discussed your possibilities, and they said, I think Lisa Rinna said you were smart. She thought you would do well.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have the betting odds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is from the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas Race and Sportsbook.
Mm-hmm.
The longest odds. Uh-huh. You've met all your fellow dancers at Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
So you
I
know
did.
Them all.
I did.
Who do you think would have the longest odds at 30 to 1?
Well, it's kind of tough. And as I've said many times, the bigger and heavier you are, the more difficult it is. If you think, I was looking at the champions. I was looking at Ono. Mm-hmm. What's his nose?
Elio Castroneves.
Elio Castroneves. Like, I stood next to and met Lachey and Elio Castroneves. They are miniature people. Yeah. I've said it a million times, they look great on TV because TV's about symmetry. Much better to have a guy who's 5'7", 5'8", with nice symmetry than a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", without good symmetry. But I had no idea that these guys were miniature people. I mean, Elio Castroneves looked to be about 135 pounds. I mean, not 165 pounds. I mean, I consider a 160 pound guy a smallish guy. He was puny. Even a guy like Emmett Smith goes 5'9".
Right.
You know, so I think the advantage goes to the smaller people, the more compact people.
Sure, Drew Lachey looks great dancing with a partner who's also his size.
I busted up, by the way, Penn, when we were in the limousine. We had about six or seven of us, about half of us in a limousine heading to Oprah in the snow yesterday in Chicago. And everyone was saying, oh, who do you think's going to win? Who do you think has a chance? And I said, well, that guy Mario, the rapper guy, I mean, that guy dances in all his videos and so on and so forth. And I said, people, Christy Yamaguchi. Is that her name?
That's her name. Yeah. The Olympic gold medal figure skater. World champion.
I said, you understand, she was working with a choreographer at age two.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's not like somebody tapped her on the shoulder on her 28th birthday and said, hey, sweetie, ever been on skates before? I mean, if you want to be an Olympic gold medalist, if you want to be world class, you don't start at 15. You start at 3. I mean, the over-under on ages to start ice dancing at that level has to be 3.5 years of age, right? So for 8 hours a day after school every day, you're working with a choreographer. And by the way, people chime in and they're like, well, but she's on skates. I said, okay, that's like saying to me, sure, you can juggle on a unicycle, but can you do it standing on the ground? I would say yes. I would say if someone can dance their ass off on a quarter inch of steel on a block of ice while going 100 miles an hour, they could probably figure out the parquet. So obviously, she's the front runner. She's been doing just this her entire life. But the thing that busted Penn up, by the way, I said, here's what we have going for us, people. Here's the good and the bad of it. Right. Christy. Been dancing her entire life, doing it at Olympic level. It's called ice dancing. Surely she has an advantage of that department. But what we have going for us is she's Asian, and those people have no work ethic. She'll be drunk and not even practicing. And of course, Penn delighted my racist humor and just exploded with laughter. So she has to be number one. Mario has to be number two. And just through sheer size, I would say Penn Jillette, although he's lost weight. He's told me he lost 45 pounds already.
He's down to 260.
I would say it was down at the bottom, but I don't know. Priscilla Presley, maybe she's older. Molly Madeline, because she's got to hear a kettle drum. I don't know. I'll say Penn at the end.
30-1 odds, Penn Jillette. Longest odds. Well done.
Let's not forget this, though, about Penn Jillette. Penn Jillette, and I don't know if this, how much of an advantage this is, has been on stage for 30 years performing and on stage every night. Let's not discount the fact where somebody walks out in front of a huge crowd with a light hitting them in the face and pulls their ass off.
We've seen his show, too, together at the Rio. He moves across the stage. He doesn't sit on a stool the whole time. He actually sort of moves a lot.
Yeah, he moves. He's on stage. He's a showman. And let's not forget, that's a lot of it. And what is magic, if not choreography, except for you're pulling rabbits out of your ass, versus, you know, spinning chicks around in heels.
So you could put a couple bucks on Penn Jillette and win yourself some money.
Mm. I don't know if he's going to take it all, but I'll bet he's not the first out.
You know, I was surprised by this. The second longest odds is an athlete, Monica Seles. She has 25-1 odds. Your odds are better than hers.
What the hell? She's a world-class athlete.
I know.
And by the way, tennis is a very graceful sport.
Maybe not exactly the way she plays it, although she's incredible.
Do men almost always win?
Men have been winning.
Like the last three or four?
The first season was won by that actress from General Hospital.
Right.
But men have been winning. And by the way, I looked this up for you. Clyde Drexler, 6'7", very tall. He was on the show. He was the fourth celebrity voted off, so he made it a month.
Right.
Not bad.
No, not bad. And again, he is a very rare exception. The man's name was Clyde the Glide.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a handful of guys over 6'5 that are just that smooth.
And Christy Yamaguchi, as you predicted, has the best odds, 4-1. Priscilla Presley actually has decent odds at 6-1. Although, I will point this out, Christy Yamaguchi is obviously the ringer. She's basically a professional dancer.
She's 5'0", 100 pounds, and has been dancing for the last 30 years.
But the ringers usually come in second. Like last season, Scary Spice, Mel B, she's basically a dancer and singer for a living, or she was. She came in second to Elio. And there was a girl, Sabrina, she was one of the Cheetah Girls, also a professional dancer, an amazing dancer. She did not make it till the end either.
Well, they treat it like a golf handicap. I think America does. They go, look, this chick is a professional golfer. I'm a 18 handicap. Yep. So they'll factor the handicap in.
I cannot wait to watch it. In the meantime, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news today. Teresa Strasser.
Did we say what Corolla's odds were?
Oh, did I?
Just said I beat Penn.
He has the third longest odds. 22-1.
So what's the order?
Okay.
You got Penn at the bottom.
Penn,
you got Christy at the top.
Christy is the best odds, 4-1. Then Christian De La Fuente, 5-1.
Mm-hmm. He's the Latin hunk.
That's right. He's the heartthrob. Priscilla Presley, 6-1.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mario, 7-1. Marley Matlin, 8-1. Steve Guttenberg, your new BFF, 10-1. Shannon Elizabeth, 12-1. Jason Taylor, 15-1. This one shocked me, because she's another ringer to me. Marissa Jarrett Winokur, 20-1 odds.
Which one is she?
She was in Hairspray. She's a Broadway star.
Yeah.
She should be a great dancer.
Yeah. She doesn't have the build for it, but doesn't matter. It'll be that much cooler.
Yeah, exactly. I have a feeling she's going to surprise people at 20-1 odds. I think she's going to do better than that. But the Wynn Sportsbook does not have you losing in week one.
Did you go all the way down the list?
Yep. Oh, did I? No, we got to Steve Guttenberg, Shannon Elizabeth, 12-1, Jason Taylor, 15-1. Yeah, and Marissa. And then it goes Adam, Monica Seles, Pendulette at the bottom.
Third from the bottom.
When the list was announced, my girlfriend looked at me and says, "Who's Steve Guttenberg?" It must be nice.
Must be nice to be young. And once again, nobody has any confidence in me. I've said that to people all the time. I always tell people, yeah, I can build a house. Oh, yeah, okay. I used to teach boxing. Sure you did. Sure did. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the big teeth or the big... I have a theory.
Yeah?
People with big teeth?
Right.
Not good at stuff.
Well, they're good at chewing.
Decent point.
Brie Osmond.
Decent point. When you see guys with big teeth, it does not instill confidence or fear. When you see a guy with big teeth, you don't think he can beat you up, and you don't think he can do anything.
What about John Elway? He's got the choppers.
But John Elway.
Nancy Kerrigan?
Let me say this. If John Elway just told you he played football, you wouldn't believe it.
Yes, he looks like a doofus.
You have to see lots of footage of him winning Super Bowls.
I was drafted in the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Okay, buddy.
I won 2 Super Bowls.
Hey, buddy, go ahead and put the eggs on the top. I don't want to get crushed by the canned ham. Paper. I'm going paper. Put it in the bag. Let's go.
Double?
Yeah. No, we have footage of him doing that. I don't have that.
You think the teeth are making you seem incompetent.
I realize people think I'm a doofus. I understand that.
You're going to prove everyone wrong. Your listeners are going to vote.
That's right.
Here's
the thing about me. And then that's it. I'm done talking about myself on the Adam Carolla Show. I am not a good dancer. I've never danced in my life. But I am exquisitely coordinated. Super coordinated. I can hop on one of those boards with the ball that rolls in the middle of it and beat your ass on it. I can hop on a unicycle and ride off a picnic table on it and keep riding. I can do those things. I don't like the fact that everyone laughs every time I say I can do something other than complain.
In your face, Gutenberg.
I think it's the Brillo head and the buck teeth. I really do.
Or maybe just being a comedian.
Maybe
people
that's
don't
it.
Necessarily think of comedians as being, you know, competent.
Yeah, I'd say that, but I got zero respect before I was a comedian as well. All right, Sarah Silverman, someone who gets all the respect in the world. Why? Talented, funny, beautiful. Everyone loves that new 1AF Matt Damon.
Oh, it's great.
I don't want to spill any secrets, but there's a rebuttal
I've
coming
heard
up to that.
Kimmel.
Oh, yes. We'll take a quick break. The great Sarah Silverman next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mrs. Silverman was my mother. She was a bitch. I'm Sarah.
And now Sarah Silverman is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, she just keeps getting more beautiful and funnier as the as the years wear on. Sarah, are you on?
Hi.
Oh, baby, ISDN. That's right.
You sound good.
Yeah.
I don't have to pot you up at all.
It's like I'm right here.
I love it. So, first off, congrats on the biggest thing since the Soldier Dance.
yeah. I'm effing Matt Damon. Yeah,
yeah,
so good.
I gotta tell you, people, I was talking to someone from your tribe, Steve Gutenberg, yesterday, and he was explaining just how much he loved it and how great, you know. I want to say to celebrities, stop avoiding this kind of thing. People love it when you do this kind of thing. It makes you cool and human at the same time. Do you agree, Sarah?
Wait, what? What makes you cool and human at the same time?
A guy like Matt Damon agreeing to poke fun at himself.
He is such a mensch.
Yes. And how did the whole thing come about? And then we'll talk about the possible rebuttal. How did the whole thing, whose idea was it, and then how did you approach Matt, and so on and so forth?
I don't remember who's that. Well, we were trying to think of something to do, for me to do for Jimmy's birthday show. Which
right.
Would have been in November, because that's when his birthday is, his 40th birthday was, but the strike happened.
Right.
But anyway, this was back in October, and someone, I don't know if it was, it was either Tony Barbieri or Sal.
Couple writers from Jimmy's show.
Had an idea because at the end of, I just spilled water all over me.
Are you at Jimmy's house, by the way?
Yeah.
Is Jimmy sitting in there with you?
No, he actually had an early meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 45-minute shower followed by some Pilates.
So Sal and the other guy.
So they had this idea because at the end of every show, Jimmy says, sorry, Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
Right.
That the first idea was that it would just be like a video that I made to Jimmy, and then it reveals that he's there, and he turns around and says, you know, sorry, Jimmy, we ran out of time, and we make out or something.
Right.
And but then it became like an idea for a whole video, which one of them also, Tony or Sal, had. And they thought of this I'm effing Matt Damon thing, and then I was on the road, and Is this interesting?
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting.
Oh, I was fishing. And it turns out I was going through, like, Florida and then up the East Coast, and he lives in Miami, so we shot it then. And it's so funny because I had to lie to Jimmy, you know, where I was. I said I was in Boca with my parents and stuff. And it's so stupid because I was just lying because it's his, you know, for this birthday surprise. But I felt so guilty. I was like nauseous talking to him on the phone at night saying I was somewhere else.
Well,
you know?
who got hold of Matt Damon? And because this sounds like the kind of thing like a publicist would frown on if you went through a publicist.
I don't know. Jill Lederman, you know, the executive producer of Jimmy's show, you know, she works her magic because she's just got the magic touch.
Well, it was really cool. I think it was last year when Matt Damon came on at the end of the show and cursed Jimmy out.
Yeah.
I mean, it really showed. I mean, you want to talk about, I know this sounds corny, but you could really tell the guy was a gifted actor by being able to pull that off. People thought he was really angry, and now we can see that he's gifted comedically through your video. But I hear, and I don't want to give too much away, there may be a rebuttal coming.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've read about this.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were you, I would definitely tune in to Jimmy's post-Oscar show on
that's
Sunday.
A big night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be some sweet magic.
And as I was saying to Jimmy and, Sarah, you're like a salmon going up a creative stream. You constantly move forward.
Oh,
you never...
everybody tells me that.
You're a king salmon going up to late creativity, up Lord. Inspiration stream, and you don't like to live in the past and repeat yourself and so on and so forth. But as I was saying to Jimmy...
That said, come see me in Vegas while I do my...
While Sarah, she repeats her act,
Sarah,
yes.
You know how I know you're doing a show in Vegas this Saturday, the 23rd, at the Hard Rock Hotel? Because my mom calls, not how are you doing, but do you know Sarah Silverman, and can you get me tickets to her show? I like
her. Of course.
My mom is Sarah's biggest fan.
And she's going out to Vegas, huh?
Yeah, my mom lives there.
Just email me and tell me how many in the name and everything and which show.
It's the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. It's at the Joint, and it is this Saturday, February 23rd, and tickets are available through Ticketmaster.
No, everybody just email me. Tell me how many.
You'll see my mom there.
But can I say this, Sarah, as I was saying to Jimmy, and again, you don't want to live in the creative past, but I was saying to Jimmy, this could start a franchise. Jimmy could do his rebuttal.
Right.
Then you could do your effing Andy Rooney. And the next thing you know.
Wait a second. That's kind of hot.
Okay.
It'll never get old.
All I'm saying is at a certain
point. An executive.
I really should be.
You really know how to beat things to death.
Well, I'm just saying.
Until there's not an ounce
of funny left.
Well, who? First.
Well.
No. But seriously, I know.
Speaking of Andy Rooney.
Okay. All I'm saying is this. It was funny, right? And if Sarah Silverman did another celebrity, one-upped somehow, or maybe two guys, would you not watch that video? I think I could do it for a little while. You'd have to get more creative. You'd have to up the ante. You'd have to have the starting offensive line of the New England Patriots next and not just one guy. But I could go for a little volley back and forth for a few celebrities, yeah.
But where does it end?
It ends when somebody says they don't want to do it who you really want. Like, you know who it ends with?
Who?
Muhammad Ali.
That's the end of the road.
That
baby.
Would be the end, and that would be awesome.
Sarah, was Jimmy really genuinely surprised? Because there was a shot of him, and he looked forlorn.
He was so excited and surprised, totally blown away. And I, what happened was, am I too loud? I can't.
No, you're doing great.
I'm used to my mother growing up too loud.
Well, I'll have mine yell that out at your show.
Yeah, that will be wonderful. So he knew that there was going to be a surprise because they had decided to play it for his anniversary show. So he knew that there was some surprise when I come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were brushing our teeth before the show in his office, and I said, but this wasn't a plan to lower his expectations. It kind of was, but Jimmy, his expectations are so high anyway.
And I said, around his birthday, yes, or any anniversary.
And he knew that, so I said, Jimmy, look at me, because he goes, I'm so excited, what's the surprise? I said, I'm telling you to lower your expectations because it's a funny video. That's what it is. And you're going to be disappointed because your mind is going crazy right now wondering what it is. And it's probably thinking of 12 better things.
He thinks a new Cadillac Escalade is going to pull up with Steve Garvey behind the wheel and Huey Lewis is going to jump out of the tailgate. Right. You got to lower the expectations. But Jimmy, and here's a story Sarah will definitely agree with.
But he was blown away.
Jimmy, one time, as I've mentioned before, we were sitting in our man show office with Jimmy and Daniel Kellison, one of our producers, and we were all sitting in there discussing Christmas or birthdays or something, and Daniel raised his hand at some point, and he said, look, we all have everything we need, and we have everything we want, and if we don't have what we want, we can certainly afford to get it. Let's stop buying each other super expensive, lavish, extravagant presents every year and trying to outdo each other. Why don't we give the money to charity or do something else? But either way, let's put a moratorium on the spending and the presents. And Jimmy said, F that.
He loves presents, and then you can't really fault him for it because he's the greatest gift
giver. I've heard that. I heard that from Dave Damashek. He told me that Jimmy remembers a thing you said that you wanted 6 months before Christmas.
He will research your ass and get you a good gift.
He is Christmas shopping 12 months a year for every single person he's ever met.
Has anything
they're all personal.
He got me wine of the month 2012, and that was 4 years ago. He's that far ahead of Christmas.
Ask Sarah, what's the best gift he's gotten you or the most surprising?
Oh, no.
Early orgasm.
Oh, my God.
An early one?
And then,
in June?
And then hit in the shower.
There's so many things I can't. And Valentine's Day made me popovers. He like orders from this place I love in New York the ingredients, and he makes that.
That's
so romantic.
Really sweet.
Funny at all.
I flew Mexican food in from North Hollywood.
Wait,
for my love.
Hey Adam, yeah, yes. I made an observation that I felt was a very Adam Carolla observation the other day.
Well, that is a great compliment. Let's hear it.
I could be wrong, and maybe. My head writer, Dan Sterling, is, mm-hmm. like, very white. He's actually Jewish, but he's very Mr. Howell-ish. Like, he's a combination of, like, Mr. Howell and Mr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like...
Yeah, right. Right. He's very white, very Anglo.
But he said, no, I was raised by a black woman. Yeah, his nanny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I realized. That black people raised by a black woman grow up to be very black.
Mm-hmm.
But white people raised by a black woman grow up to be very white.
Hmm.
Would you say that's a...
Yeah, I would, but why? Is it the black woman not wanting to impose her culture on the white
kid?
No,
I don't know.
Gosh, I was thinking about that. It seems on the face, ostensibly, it seems true. I was half raised by a black man.
Well, this will be...
Am I super white?
This will be... This will be an interesting experiment when my kids get a little older. I'll have to get an interpreter, and I'll ask them in Spanish if, in fact, having a Mexican nanny has turned them more Mexican or if it's made them more white.
I think I need a larger sample group to really test this thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's because they're pay... It's a... I don't know, but I was listening to you talk about how your kids are speaking Spanish because of your nanny, and I thought, what a relatable gripe.
Oh, please. If I had a nickel.
How wonderfully relatable to the world.
Sarah, I know you must have listened in the 6 or 10 times that Adam had a problem with first class. They don't let you on the plane. Yeah. They let you on too soon.
They let you on too soon.
You have to sit there.
Well, all right.
So hard, Adam, it's so hard.
Well, okay, let me say this.
These are uptown problems.
Let me speak once again to the common man and say, and say two things. I, along with the great Steve Guttenberg, were trying at the Chicago airport to get into the Captain's Nest Club.
Yeah.
You know, the one where United or Delta or whatever lets you sit up there. Now, here's the thing. I never successfully gain entrance into those clubs.
But now they have Gutenberg.
Gutenberg is my point, man.
Right.
By the way, and I'm convinced of this. Sarah, please back me up on this. I am convinced these places only employ cultures, ages, genders, and folks that recognize no celebrity. I've been into 3,000 of these places. I never had one of the chicks behind the counter go, hey, man, show, what's up? It's always that perpetual 56-year-old woman whose origins, you can't tell what her nationality is. It's something different. And it's clear that she's never seen a show, heard of anything. It's not like, hey, caught you on the Tonight Show last... No, it's never. They intentionally do this, so they'll be biased. or unbiased.
I can't believe it. Why don't they ever have date rapey frat boys working there so that they can go, oh my God, the man show!
Right. Where are the juggies? Where are the juggies?
Where are the juggies?
I'd like to see a guy in a USS muff diver hat sitting there wearing a hoodie with the sleeves cut off with his flip-flops up on the desk going, hey, Ace Man, where's Drew and the juggies?
Yeah, so you can get the respect you deserve.
Right, and I go, could I get into the captain's lounge? And he's like, when we're done shotgunning this beer, you can. No, it's never that guy. You know who it always is? It's one of my mom's friends. That's the prototype. Are you still doing construction? No, I'm on TV. Oh.
Freak out!
Real TV or cable?
Cable. This is all going to change, though, with
All right, look. But look, Dancing with the Stars will change.
Yeah,
but Sarah,
it sure will.
Please dig this. I know I never end up stop complaining, but I have a first class ticket, right?
Oh, no. Why did I start this, Brian?
You started.
Why did I do this?
It's a $2,000.
To Sarah and to all our
it's
listeners.
It's a $2,000 ticket. Do you think I could sit in one of your chairs, read a USA Today, and drink a Diet Coke? Would that be too much to ask for the $2,000 ticket? But then they always do this one. Well, you can join the club. It's $500. You can join. And I'm thinking, so you guys essentially have started a club inside of an airport. So am I going to have my daughter's bat mitzvah there? Am I going to invite? I'm going to see clients there. Like, listen, fellas, we got to get through airport security. Once we get through security, this is awesome. This is where we're going to have our banquet. Like, why do I want to be in that club? I'm on the way to the airport.
You should show up with your racquetball racket. Like, I'm here. I'm at the club.
Hey, I'm at the club. Flying? No, I'm not flying. I paid $500. I'm in the captain's nest. I just came down to enjoy.
I'm looking forward to your kids bat mitzvah in Spanish. That's all they speak.
They're having a quinceañera now. But hey, Sarah, you want to come out and join me at the captain's nest?
Shocked that you're raising Natalia Jewish.
I'm raising
one
her Jewish
and
in
one.
Spanish. Yeah, okay. I'm raising the girl as a Jew, and I'm raising the boy as Mexican. And I'll tell you why, because I don't know a Jew or Mexican who's not employed.
I've got a couple jobs.
Yeah,
Sarah,
that's what I'm saying.
Sarah always working.
That's right. Now, the boy will end up mowing the lawn of the girl, but it doesn't matter. They'll both be employed, and that's what I'm looking for. I know a lot of Gentiles out of work.
Sarah, can I give a compliment to your sister, Laura?
Oh, she was so great on the show.
She was great on our show. Then I watched House that night, and she is really a phenomenal actress.
Oh, my God. She completely transformed.
I know.
I mean, when you watch her on my show, and she's this, like, sexy, you know, sweet thing, and then on that show, she's, like, Jewy Jewerson drama woman.
Yeah, she played a former heroin addict who became a very observant Jew.
Yeah.
And then falls ill.
I saw it. They lifted her up on the chair. She hit her head on the chandelier. And the next thing you know, House was in the house.
Yeah, she's having seizures. She's breaking down. She's hurting her leg. It's like, oh, my God.
Well,
it was like real drama.
She's a Silverman. She's got it. Let's face it. And Sarah, now, speaking of her and you, the show, the writer strike's over. The writers are back working on the Sarah Silverman program, right?
Yes.
And new episodes and schedule, how? Or is it back on? I mean, is it game on? Is it full steam ahead? How's it working?
It's full steam ahead, but we won't be on the air until October.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of October, but then we'll be on, we'll have 10 episodes, and then shortly after, hopefully, more episodes.
And I know your show is not going to need this as an excuse, but this whole writer strike thing is going to be great for all the shows that fail 10 years from now when people are going, whatever happened with your, we were on a roll, then the strike came in. It'll be everyone's reason why they got pulled off the air, not Sarah Silverman, of course. All right, so Sarah, let's review.
Yeah.
Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, that is this Saturday.
The Joint.
The Joint, that'll be February 23rd. Teresa's mom is going to go out there.
Thank you, Sarah.
Pray for me that I'm not. Pray to your God, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
That I am, that my cold is gone by then, because I feel like crap.
Well,
pray to your God that he stop, tell him to stop worrying about Africa and starving children and genocide Darfur for a minute and just make my cold go away.
Well, as I've said many times, Sarah Silverman at 60% is like seeing two Elaine Boozlers in her prime.
I say six Boozlers.
I've said that. T, how many times have I said that off the air?
All constantly.
All right, so that's the point. Even if Sarah's sucking up the sniffles, she'll still be fantastic.
He measures comedy in units of Boozlers.
Boozlers, that's right.
Boozlers, that's a great unit of measurement.
T's a 2.5 Boozler heading toward 3.
One day.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm going to see Bette Midler
the
night before.
By the way,
she's nine Boozlers.
Yo, I'm dying to see her big Vegas show.
She's like, yeah. So I know I'm going to love it, but I'm going to be like, oh my God. I'm for people coming to this and then going to see me tomorrow, it's going to be
a tremendous letdown, but
yes, it's just me doing stand-up. There's no light cues. There's nothing,
But
I don't want I want everyone's expectations.
Well,
lowered.
Maybe they can catch in between a sort of a buffer, one of those shows where they do the celebrities who aren't really the celebrities, where you have, you know, the Marilyn Monroe and you have the impressionists as a sort of buffer between the divine Miss M and then the divine Miss S. Hey, by the way, that would be a good name for your next show.
Oh my God.
Mark Cohen always says, lower your expectations and you'll enjoy the show better.
Hey, what about life? Sarah Silverman live at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, The Joint, this Saturday. Teresa Strasser's mom will be there. She'll be the one in the Birkenstocks with the beehive.
Yeah.
Mazel tov. And
Dancing with the Stars, The Hammer.
Oh, Sarah.
I like to give your plugs.
Thanks, sweetie Petey. So we'll see you very soon. And good luck to you at the casino.
Mark Cohen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Different Mark Cohen.
Sarah, have a great show and feel better.
Thank you, doll.
She's such a sweetheart.
I know.
Mahalo.
Oh, mahalo, yeah. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, it is Monday. It is Music Monday. Huh? Teresa, or it is Wednesday. It is Music Wednesday. Well, we didn't get to it on Monday because all the Dancing with the Stars, mishigosh. Now we're going to talk about it on Wednesday. We had all our songs loaded up on Monday, and we're going to play them next. The theme, good and bad songs to be proposed to. Setting the mood, the song that is playing in the background when you're being proposed to. T, based on... torn from the headlines. Teresa was proposed to last Valentine's Day. I don't know. Was there a song playing?
Yes, and I have it.
Okay, so we'll do best and worst songs to be proposed to next on a Music Wednesday.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, Music Monday, this time on Wednesday. And with the recent news of Teresa Strasser's engagement, we're going to play you some of the best and the worst songs to pop the question to. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, T, now you have the actual song that you were proposed to.
Yeah. It just happened to be on, and now it's... How bizarre is that? This was playing.
It was just on the radio or just on the CD or the iPod or what have you.
I don't know if you have... I have DirecTV and they have the XM stations. And they have...
Cable has a version of that too.
Right. Yeah. They have Heart, which is a station of all love songs. So he had that on.
I see. So whatever was up was up.
Yeah, you want that to avoid, you know, the songs that we've all chosen that you don't want on. If it's Heart, it's going to be okay.
Sure.
Right. Not the band, but the station, the XM station. Yeah, I have that. You know the problem? The problem is the TiVo remote doesn't work on that satellite, whatever, and it bothers me. I find myself picking up the TiVo remote and pointing it at the music and wanting to pause the music.
I see. Yeah, or you want to rewind and hear it again.
Right, and the TiVo does not work. It works on all the stations, but it doesn't work on the music stations.
I like it because a lot of times you
hear... From a technological standpoint,
but
let's work on that.
It tells you the song and the artist because how often are you listening and you, who is this?
Right.
And you know it's Leo Sayer, but you can't really get that name from your mind.
Right. You cannot yank the Ozark Mountain Daredevils out of your ass.
That's where I keep them.
All right. Now, so these are songs. We'll start with good. We have Bald Brines. We have Teresa's as well. Start with good. We'll get into some bad. First, good. Jay and the Americans. Now, I have no idea what he's saying in this song.
I've met somebody else, and I'm going to leave you. Speak a little.
I think Carmia is the name of a woman.
Each time we
Oh,
it's in English.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, 1965.
This is romantic. I think... Did you sing this at my fake wedding?
Mm, means my love in Italian, I've been told.
Mm-hmm. Did you sing this? I feel like you performed this.
That was
silly. It is one of my karaoke numbers for this part right here.
Can you go high?
Oh, high.
Sing it.
Hold on. My love, yes, in Italian. Each time we part, my heart wants to die. People don't part anymore, they leave.
Yeah.
There used to be a time when you would part and then you'd be blue.
Right.
I march when I sing this. I march in plays. And now here's where I really come alive in the karaoke department. This is where the cat goes under the sofa. Here's where the wine glass cracks and the woman's glasses crack. And this is where
both kids start crying at that point.
Well, it's usually how we clear out the party, you know, when people are straggling and they're drunk.
My wife's like, the garage door starts opening.
Time to bust out the car, Mia. Ironically, let's get Mia and Emma in their cars and get them the F out of our house. One more big ending here. Hear people peeling out in reverse. Party over. Everyone's cleared out of the house.
It's good stuff.
Carmia, everybody. My love in ID. All right. Now, there's a good
romantic
song to propose to. Maybe a little bit loud. Here's a mellower song. This is, I think it's called The Wedding Song.
Who is it?
It's a little left out, but it's gone away for a while. I don't know, Mark Carr sung it a few weeks ago at a wedding. This is, well, you know Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
I believe...
It's Mary?
Peter or Paul. I think it's Peter. I don't think it's Peter, Paul, and Mary. I have it written down here as Peter, Paul, and Mary, but for some reason I think one of them went out on their own.
Ill-fated solo projects.
Oh, it was tough. I mean, Peter, Paul, and Mary just got done trashing a Ramada Inn hotel room. They were coked out of their brains.
Peter and Mary had had enough of Paul's wild ways.
Paul was like, I'm going to go cut a solo album about a marriage. They said, no can do. Next thing you know, fists were flying. It got ugly. I think there was some rape involved, and I'm not talking about on Mary.
Uh-oh. Now,
do you know this song?
No, never heard it.
This is bad, though?
No, it's good.
It's good. It's pretty. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being proposed to this.
It's called The Wedding Song, for the love of Christ.
I assume nothing was playing during your proposal.
No, SportsCenter was on.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they got a theme song.
They got a song.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
Never heard this one.
No.
From the goddamn Bay Area, and you've never heard this song.
I'm really, really young. Sometimes you can forget that because of my emotional maturity.
Yes.
Very poised.
All right. We'll listen to 10 more seconds of this.
I can't wait for Silver's post-show notes. Oh, my God.
It's a nice song.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Well, they're all going to be gay.
Well, these are songs to propose by, for the love of Christ. All right. Peter, Paul, and Mary, or Peter, or Paul, or whoever. Yeah, it's Paul solo. That's what I thought. All right, so that was him doing his solo thing back in 71. That's good.
Yeah.
But now bad. What's a bad song to be proposed to? Detroit rocker.
Nude.
Motor City Madman, the Nude. Yeah, if you listen to this song, it's you had me, you put me in my place, and now I got you in a stranglehold, baby, and I'm going to break your face.
Ugh.
You know the theme, you know my 70s themes. There's the gypsy theme.
Right.
There's the rambling theme. There's the we started our band theme and took it on the road.
Yeah.
Now working for the man.
Not working for the man theme. And then there's a fifth one. That's you done me wrong, baby, and you cheated on me, and I cried, and now I got you where I want you. There's the revenge theme. By the way,
metaphor?
I don't think so. Now when he talks about breaking her face.
Huh.
And I got you in a stranglehold, you best get out of the way. When I'm in a stranglehold, my response is always, I would love to get out of the way, except for you're holding me in a effing stranglehold.
It's a metaphor for causing a cranial fracture.
Right.
Breaking your face.
I will gladly leave the premises when your forearm leaves my windpipe.
So what's worse, that he's strangling her or that he's then telling her to get out of his face?
Oh, wait. Here it is. Here it is. Got you out of stranglehold, baby. You gotta crush your face. I crushed your face.
Oh.
All right. So talking about crushing your face while you're down on one knee. And by the way, if I'm down on one knee and I got you in a stranglehold.
It's over.
It's over.
Tap out.
I mean, you'd get down on one knee to propose, but not to propose to strangle you.
Right. So, Stranglehold, not a great song to propose by. Let me go to my next bad song to propose to. This one was sung by Team, the Russian rapper.
Bitches ain't but hoes and tricks.
Dr. Dre.
This is a bad one.
When I used to take Tim the Russian rapper out to the beach with Nate, my skinny Catholic little brother, he'd always pop me a mix cassette and tell me to toss it in the Isuzu Trooper I was driving at the time. This is Mr. Adam. I like the idea. I like when the foreigners can't figure out the part where we have a first name and a last name. Hey, this is Mr. Adam. It's like, look, here's how it works in this country. Adam, first name. Corolla, last name. Mr. Corolla. Well, that makes it. Hey, this is Mr. Adam. What is that foreigner thing? And do they all call themselves Mr. First name in other countries?
No. Just trying to be polite, maybe? No.
I understand it. I never really correct them or say anything about it. But shouldn't somebody go, it's just Adam will do. Yes, it is Mr. Adam. Hey, I have a funky new mix cassette tape. Pop in iMark there.
Now,
it is so suck on these V's and lick on this D. And I'm watching this fat kid in my rear view as I'm driving him to the beach. This song is dope. It is written by Dr. Dre, Mr. Dr. Dre. Mr. Dre, he is in the hizzy with his bitches, and he's singing about his whores and his tricks. Kid was like 14 when he was doing this, 280 pounds.
Embracing our culture.
He got every... It's like somebody locked him in a room with VH1 and MTV circa 1991, and that was all he did. All he did was listen to hardcore gangster rap. All right, so that's a bad song.
Yeah, not romantic.
You guys have some good songs, and you have some bad ones. I have some bad ones. You people calling in have some bad ones. We'll take a break. Music Wednesday... Sorry, kids. I had to do Oprah. What are you going to do? As I've said, I've worked that into 3,500 conversations.
It's pretty easy. You could, I mean, you can work Oprah into anything.
That's what I've been doing, except a doorway. Just put a few pounds back on. We'll take a quick break. Back with the rest of Music Monday on a Wednesday next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, Music Monday, here on Wednesday. More songs to play and not to play when you're popping the big question. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, I got my good, I got my bad. T and Bald Brian have their good and bad as well. T?
Yeah?
What do you got in the good department?
Well, I chose the song that happened to be playing on Valentine's Day when Batman proposed. It just happened to be the love song that was on the love song station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of stuck with it, but I kind of love it.
Push your little daisies and make them come up? No. Ah, lost in love, love,
and I don't know why.
That's frustrating.
Is this Air Supply?
Yeah. Pretty good.
God damn, I like some Air Supply songs.
I guarantee this will be going through
it's
your
so
head.
So sad.
They have a few good songs.
Their kitsch factor is off the charts.
Jay, talk to my assistant. Jay, I'm going to need you to put on a fake beard mustache and get me an Air Supply best of CD. And by the way, while you're at the place, get One Night in Paris as well. Yeah. Mm.
It now plays.
I do like. I don't know if it's corny. It started off. I mean, obviously, it started as a joke. But this is what happened with ABBA. We started joking about ABBA like 10 years ago, talking about
Mama
all those
Mia.
Crappy ABBA songs, and now somebody pops one on, like when you're on vacation, and pops it in the car or something, and you're kind of liking it.
I'll say ABBA has some really good production and some interesting grooves. This is
Look, it's horrible, but I don't know. I'm with T. Maybe it's just because I'm so happy for Teresa. But all right, little Air Supply for you. Bald Brian, what do you got in the good department?
By the way, turns out my mom, I just found out, walked down the aisle to that Peter, Paul, and Mary song, that Paul song.
Oh, how sweet.
She just emailed me.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was, well, it's called the wedding song, so it's almost like writing birthday.
Happy
it's like the
birthday.
Beatles' birthday or school's out for summer.
Christmas
it's a song that gets played in every third wedding. I'm surprised you guys didn't know it, but mom did. All right.
Anyway, to propose, I imagine that this would be a good song. In my opinion, the best love song of all time.
Beach Boys.
God only knows. It's a great song, and I imagine it would be very, very sweet and romantic.
They have some great songs, and this is definitely one of them.
I thought it was going to be Transformers.
That's where they after.
That's
party.
When a man loves himself.
That's why I walked down the aisle too.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, Brian, but aren't you moving in maybe soon? Not with your Transformer, but with your actual real life girlfriend.
The only one for me is Optimus Prime, possibly Megatron.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Oh yeah, this is great.
Well, speaking of Beach Boys, and again, we do not look at each other's questions, answers, or whatever songs, whatever the topic is, whether it be movies or songs, we don't share any information. So it's just a coincidence that I happen to have a Beach Boys song as my number one in the good department.
Oh, great song.
God, do I love this song.
So last night was 60th night on American Idol, and I was shocked why no one sang like any Beach Boys. That would have been a great choice.
Is it hard to do solo?
Tall Order.
Yeah.
Don't worry, baby.
But you just admitted that you watched American Idol.
I did watch American Idol. Racing cars. It is.
They're all about racing cars. And Chick saying, be safe when you're out there on
He's
the road.
Saying, don't worry, I'll be fine racing my Woody.
So this is what preceded Witchy Women and Rambling.
Yeah. I have a car race this weekend. You don't want me to go because it's dangerous. And I tell you, don't worry.
That's right.
Before this, people would part and that would make them blue.
He started to brag about his car.
Yeah.
You can't back down now. You push the other guy too far.
He's in a bind.
Let me tell you something, by the way. If you run an auto shop, like in high school, if you're an auto shop teacher, your first five songs and first five semesters should just be Beach Boys songs, because they're talking about quad induction and fuel injection. I mean, it's one thing to say this car has a fast engine or big slicks on it. They get into pressure plates burning. These guys are talking about harmonic balancers and throwout bearings. I mean, when they break down, I'll take some Beatles. I'll take some Beach Boys songs one day. I will break it down. It is advanced mechanics.
I look forward to that.
All right, Betty. What is a bad song? Give us a bad one now.
Well, again, we were thinking alike. I guess rap is a tough category for love songs. Here's Ludacris.
Mm-hmm. I'll read your horoscope and eat some hors d'oeuvres. 10 on pump one, these hoes is self-serve.
That is a bad song.
7-4-1-0s, my cell phone just overloads.
I've got hoes. I've got hoes.
In the
area code.
Hors d'oeuvres, I like that.
Yeah, hors d'oeuvres.
A holy day, so stop the violence and put the away. Get you the holy day. 504-972-713. What you gonna do? You checking out the scene? I'm checking a holding now. We're perpendicular vehicular homicide. 3-1.
How many hoes can you get into one song?
And how many area codes?
In Bangkok. Can't stop. I turn and hit the same spot. Thank night. I'm the thriller in Manila.
Good stuff.
All right.
Good song, but not for a proposal.
Yeah. I feel bad for, what's his name? Who'd they pull off the air for saying no?
Don Imus. He must be so confused. Ludacris just said it 47 times.
Hey, he can, because that's what they call their people. Come on. Ho. You know what we have?
What?
I don't think the black man has this. Mm. This is the domain of the white man. How about this? We have skank.
Oh, yeah.
Black guys don't get skank. Hmm. We have skank.
Lucky us.
That's our hoe.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. I'm just saying. They don't get to use skank, just like we don't get to use hoe. I'm looking for our words that we can tell them that they can't use.
I feel like
I have a laundry list of words that they use that I can't use. I'm going to put skank on that list.
Nice.
And possibly the C word. All right. Let's take ourselves a break. We have our number one songs in the bad department coming up. We have some of yours as well. Coolio will be joining us soon, although he's not here yet. Quick break. Back with the rest of Music Wednesday next.
Music Monday here on Wednesday on the Adam Carolla Show. Songs to play and not to play when you're popping the big question. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, Ben Folds. What a genius. That is some good music right there. There you go. That's all I'm saying. Everyone listening to a lot of John Cougar Mellencamp, listen to some Ben Folds 5, would you? Smarten up. Makes you smarter.
Because you can only listen to one or the other.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of crap that gets played over and over again. Knock it off.
You
expose
used one of
yourself.
His songs on Music Monday, and it was so good. Brick. Is that him?
Yeah, that is him. He is the real deal. All right, Music Monday on a Wednesday because of, well, extenuating. Did I mention I was doing Oprah?
Wait, why?
I've not heard that.
I'm dancing for my life, baby. All right.
Can't wait.
T, you have one more bad one.
Yeah.
I have two more bad ones. So, Bald Brian, why don't we hear one of yours first?
Well, in light of what happened with Teresa, her whole, the whole story, it's sort of unoriginal.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one.
I can't listen to it now. I'm thinking of Batman and his rings.
My ring was around the neck of the rubber ducky.
Of a rubber ducky.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with this. Totally.
Rubber ducky.
This is cute.
Joy of joys. When I see you,
well, I have a whole bunch of bad ones, so I'm just going to power through them. Let's go with my first one.
All the homies, they know what I mean. Baby, let me show you how I lean.
Like a cholo.
Laid back.
Hold on, Silver's cell phone's going off.
Is this ringtone?
Yeah, one of them.
Retard music for retarded people. Again, everyone wants to talk about opinions. Everyone wants to talk about preferences. Not for me. If you think Mama's Family is a funnier sitcom than The Simpsons, you are stupid. It's not a personal preference thing. Or it is. Your personal preference is being stupid. If you like this music, you are what I like to call dumb.
I like Jack and Diane leaning like a cholo.
No.
It's one of my faves.
No. Yes. Lean like a cholo, you retards. This would be a horrible song to play when you were being... First off, it's the most annoying song in the world.
It's grating as all hell.
Yes, it's grating. And guess what? Now,
is this a dance?
You know who doesn't mind grating?
It's like doing the Mario.
Who?
Animals. You ever see an animal lying in the dirt in the sun?
Yeah.
And there's like some construction or something going on nearby, and you think to yourself, why don't you get yourself up, dust yourself off, go back in the house and lie down on the sofa? You want to know why they don't? They have a brain the size of an effing acorn, and it doesn't bother them. Now, grating to smart people is actually pleasurable to dumb people. That's why dumb people like repetitive grating music. It's not nearly... You see, we have much more sensitive nerve endings. When you're smarter, more stuff will bother you. When you're dumb, you like this ass. All right, let's go to a great song, which is still... a horrible song to propose to, but a great song.
Oh, yeah, the sentiment is all wrong.
The song is great.
It is. It's one of his best.
Yes. Little group called Pearl Jam. Boy, how old are we? Song is over 10 years old. It's 13 years old. 13 years old. Pearl Jam, who I have is... not a new act, but in my old brain, one of the newer bands. This song is so goddamn good. Great lyrics. Great build. We may have to hear a lot of this song, people.
There's only 30 seconds left of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll hear that.
He does a lot of the songs for the soundtrack of Into the Wild. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
yeah.
good.
No, he's the real deal. And there's nothing better than a song that starts with a slow build and then just kicks it into overdrive. Do we have enough? Is there enough left? Does it kick? Oh, come on. Just another 10 seconds. Yes, this is what smart people listen to, you see? Lean like a cholo, retarded people, better man, better song.
Poignant song about wondering if your girl thinks she could do better.
No.
Painful.
I don't think so. It's about his mom.
Is it about his mom?
And it's his mom.
Oh.
Who hooks it up, because I've heard the live version and he
really?
Dedicates it to her. Yes. Either way, bad proposal song. All right, one more baddie and then all our number ones. This is just a tip of the cap to our guest from the 7 o'clock or early this morning.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
Unless it's Matt Damon, you don't want to hear about what she's doing with Matt Damon when you're proposing.
She's Matt Damon.
All right, I think we all know this one. All right, I got the I have my number one. T, number one, Ball Brian, number one. Mm-hmm. T, let's start with you.
Well, this song sentiment describes pretty much every relationship I had in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. If you can't love Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right?
I think it may be just Stills.
No, oh, love the one you're with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what this song is. Settle?
Settle. That's what it's, it is. A very nearly
arousing message to settle.
Yeah.
Right.
Enthusiastically telling you to settle.
Yeah, I could understand with hump the one you're with, but I don't know about love the one you're with.
I think back then, maybe that's
same,
what,
that's what they meant. All right, Coolio's here, so let's get to it. What do you got, Bald Brian, in your number one department?
Well, this song is just weird, and if you know the name of the song and what it's about, it's far more weird and disturbing.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's about Eddie Vedder's mom.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's not just weird, but it's called Master and Servant. And it's
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very techno, and it's very Euro, and it's very grating.
This is an excellent
song. We got it, Master and Servant.
Right.
It's not a good song to propose to. Mm. This is how it's going to be.
Mm. All right, my number one song is part song, part something else. Those of you who listen to this radio station will recognize it. I don't know if he's on in every
Thank
market.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show.
This is not good
is
for proposing.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Together to talk about the issues.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait.
Really care about a different kind of radio talk program.
So you got a little Enter Sandman.
Wait for it.
Not hosted by a right-wing whack-up or a convicted felon.
No.
No.
My point is...
Point out our telephone number.
Enter Sandman, bad enough, but like it's ringing in your ear what I'm trying to propose. As a matter of fact... I might think about some of the teachings of Likas 101 and get back off my knee and nail one of your friends.
Right. And don't spend more than $40 on that ring.
Not on an engagement ring. All right. We need to, quickly. You got line six, line one or line six?
Let's see.
Let's go line six.
Yeah.
I like that.
Steve?
Yeah, Adam, how are you, man?
You have a suggestion?
I do have a suggestion. The inimitable Van Morrison, Someone Like You, is a gorgeous song.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat Van Morrison. Smart people listen to Van Morrison.
There you go. Yeah. Very good point.
Except Brown Eyed Girl. A lot of sorority sisters are going to be karaokeing to that.
Yes, right.
Yeah, Brown Eyed Girl's played out, though. You know, anybody can do Brown Eyed Girl. It's the latter year of Van Morrison.
All right, let's hear a little of it.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, this is a nice song. Actually, this is a great song.
Steve, excellent choice.
Nice job, Steve.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you guys give to me every morning on my crappy commute.
Thank you, Steve.
You're a good man.
Now, is your crappy commute on the way to a crappy job, or is just the commute crappy?
No, the commute's crappy. It's the lovely 405 that you talk about. But no, my job's good. I work at Sony. I've got a good job. I'm very lucky.
Well, I got to tell you, this whole traffic thing, especially out in Los Angeles, really snuck up on us. You can't blame the mayor or the city council people. I mean, this is something we couldn't have seen coming 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's impossible. Well, at least we have the Amber Alert signs that tell me how long it takes to get to the 10.
Yeah, those are really moving people along. Yeah, it's awesome that they've addressed the biggest problem the city really has and have had for the last 35 years. Yeah, it's not like we just woke up and there was traffic. Traffic has been getting steadily worse for the last 30 years, yet...
I wish I could hear this song underneath all your rants.
No, Villa Rosa's nice. Got a new plan. Have you heard about this? Olympic one way, Pico the other?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's on top of it. I mean, not it.
He's on top of a reporter from Telemundo, right?
I mean, by it, I mean the traffic problem.
Right.
He's on top of it.
This is the worst proposal ever.
Oh, I've heard. Viragosa's got a plan. He's going to talk to a group of people like they're third graders with learning disorders, and then he says he's now going to put more barbed wire around the freeway sign so we can all feel like we're living in a police state. He's on top of his game. No doubt.
Does he color his game?
I will.
Huh?
What?
All right, Steve. the retards that run this city. We need to take ourselves a break. Coolio. Good man I haven't seen in quite some time. Coolio is coming up next. We'll talk to him on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Coolio on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Coolio.
Yo, what's up? I'm Coolio with the flow, a.k.a. Mr. Burns, a.k.a. the Ghetto Gourmet, a.k.a. El Cool Magnifico.
Good times.
How did you get the name Coolio, by the way?
Coolio. My friend's talking about me, actually, man. I used to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And I only knew how to play Jose Feliciano, Light My Fire.
Really?
But my boys didn't know who Jose Feliciano was. All I knew
not
was Julio.
Not big in Compton, huh?
Not as big as you would think. Well,
Feliz Navidad,
cats.
Not huge in Compton. I can't believe that.
You know, yeah, but they got it confused.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought he was Julio Iglesias. So somebody walked in and said, "Who you think you is, Julio? Julio Iglesias?" And then my other friend said, "Nah, that ain't Julio, that's Coolio." Matter of fact, my friend Zachary Scott, his name is Zachary Scott. Mm-hmm. We call him, but I named him Zodak.
Mm. Yeah, see, the thing about the white boys with the names, it's like, right. Let's see, your name is Bert Overland. How about we call you Douchebag? See, we don't like to get all the combining and the cool and everything. We just stick with the a-hole and the douchebag. So, Coolio, I don't know how long it's been since I've seen you last. Maybe it was Loveline, but I miss you, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. You look good, man.
Thank you. You do, too.
Yeah, that just for me, it's working out all good for us.
Coolio, I don't know if you've heard. I don't know if you've heard, speaking of men and manly things, yeah, that Adam's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
I told him 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, he just told me that. Don't you got 2 left feet?
Yes. No, I have 2 wooden feet. I'm like a pirate.
Yeah,
I'm the first pirate to dance.
How you gonna do that, man?
I have no idea.
Don't try it in those Ugg boots, I tell you that.
No, I'm gonna put on my Capizios. I don't even know what shoes to wear. You can't wear sneakers, right?
They will provide you with appropriate footwear.
Yeah, dancing shoes. Perhaps.
All right. So,
try some Stacey Adams.
Coolio, we're talking, we're going to talk about some cooking, which is interesting. Lots of celebrity cooking programs and things like that.
Right.
But not with the soul food angle, right? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't really do soul food. I do fusion.
Well, now, what would fusion be?
Like black and Asian?
Mm-hmm.
Blasian.
Mm-hmm. I like that. What kind of dishes are Blasian?
Soul rolls.
Soul rolls
is one.
Mm-hmm.
Black Thai noodles. Hey, all kind of stuff like that. I just put a twist on everything. I do Mex-Italian.
Mm.
I do Gitalian. That's ghetto Italian.
How did you learn to cook and what happened?
My mom, you know, I was one of those like really like smart kids. So, mm-hmm. Once I learned how to do something once, my mom made me keep doing it.
She didn't feel like cooking for you?
Yeah, my mom worked a lot. She worked a lot. And then, like I said, I learned how to wash clothes at 8.
Yeah.
Started washing my own clothes at 8 years old because I was in there messing with the washing machine. What did I do that for? I've been washing my own clothes ever since.
I learned to wash clothes at 8 because the washing machine was in my bedroom. I S you not, Coolio. The
Did you
washing,
sleep in the dryer?
The washing. Oh, the dryer. What's that? We did not own a dryer. We had a washing machine, the water heater, and the meter. The guy used to have to come into my room to read the meter.
You're kidding.
I swear to you.
Where'd you live?
Like Green Acres. You think the Ozark Mountains, circa 1934, North Hollywood, in the 70s, the meter.
Wow.
The water heater, which must be illegal, by the way, to sleep in the same room with the water heater.
So are you a real Californian then?
I'm a real white trash Valley Californian.
Well, I'm straight from Compton, and I am a straight Californian myself.
Well, there's not too many, and the thing that's funny, Dr. Drew is the only other dude I've met in show business who is from here. Everyone comes out from somewhere else to make it big here.
You know what's funny is most people in radio in this town are not from here.
No, because...
Which is weird.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because radio works like this. There's 500 markets, and L.A. is number two. So you don't start in the number two market. You start in the farm leagues, which are the number 200 markets.
Like Fresno.
And you work your way up.
California City.
Yeah, so you go, you start in market 288, you go to 145, you end up in market 62.
Like Weed, California.
And eventually...
is that a place?
Yes, there's a place called Weed, California.
What goes on there?
I have no idea.
It's always 420.
You're the mayor and you don't know what goes on there?
It looks like they had a lot of farming going on.
So eventually, if all goes right, you work your way to Los Angeles, right. And thus no one in radio is from here because you don't get to start here, although I got to start here.
You the man. With the plan. You got a partner like Dr. Drew, you know.
You know what? I say if it wasn't for him, man, you know, you probably would be a different person. You actually really learned stuff from him, didn't you?
You do, and one does. Yes, if you sit next to somebody for 10 years who's yelling at 14-year-olds about syphilis, you eventually learn something about syphilis, too.
I'm sure you do.
The other thing about Dr. Drew is Dr. Drew was like a dog at the airport. He was like a beagle at the airport sniffing out baggage. Somebody, I swear to you, somebody would walk into the studio and he'd say, "Who's been drinking tonight?" And everyone would like look at each other and start getting nervous and go, I didn't drink tonight. And we'd all look around. And then eventually our producer, Ann, would go, "I had a glass of wine with dinner." And he'd go, "Yeah, that's what it is." He could literally tell if somebody had one glass of wine with dinner.
Or if they just come from Weed, California.
That's right. I was driving through Weed. Drinking a Chardonnay.
Weed is up north. It's near north.
That's where I'm from, San Francisco.
Coolio, let's talk about the journey before we get into the destination for a second. Sir. So you grew up out here at Compton.
Uh-huh.
You grow up, brothers, sisters. What's the family like?
I have four sisters. Three of them live up north. Mm-hmm. They were with my dad.
So they're out in Weed.
Up north in Weed?
In San Jose.
I know it. Yeah, four.
Well, now they're spread out now. They're somewhere in Stockton, somewhere in San Jose. But then I have my older sister who grew up with me and my mom. Mm-hmm. So it was just us two in the house.
And what did you think you were going to be doing when you were in high school? Was it always about performing and music?
In junior high school and elementary, I thought I was going to be like a scientist or a doctor or a physicist or an engineer.
Well, they have crazy hair, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at Einstein.
Absolutely. But then high school, I thought I was going to be a drug dealer, a gang member, or one of those guys in the casket.
Or statistic.
The dead people.
Right. So you got in with a bad crowd.
Yeah, got in with a bad crowd for a while, and then I really started dedicating myself to rapping. And I got into it with the bad crowd because I kind of had to. It was like either, you know, join them or get beat by them.
So when you're growing up in that neighborhood,
right.
You have to. Now, is it Crips and Bloods in that neighborhood?
Yeah, well, I went to a school with Crips and Bloods
in
high school.
If you just kept to yourself and you just said, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to attend class, and I'm going to walk right home and study my books.
If you had a lot of brothers or you had a lot of cousins or somebody that gave you like a silent protection almost where people was like, okay, don't mess with that guy because then we'll have problems. Well, I wasn't that guy. I was all by myself, so I had to literally fight a lot. I probably had more fights than Mike Tyson when I was coming up through school.
And you're sort of almost forced to pick a gang, pick a side, pick a color?
Pretty much. You pick whatever neighborhood you live in. You know, they pick you.
Right. So you were in what neighborhood were you in?
I was in a Crip neighborhood.
You're in the Crip neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you're forced to run with those guys. Were you ever a Crip?
You know, I had my days, but by the time I got to 10th grade, I kind of had a, you know, cool little reputation as being, you know, a guy you don't really want to have too many problems with. Not that everybody cared.
Right.
But, you know, they cared enough, you know, to let me start doing my thing. And then, you know, I had some problems in school. I didn't really want to go to school anymore because I didn't enjoy it. And, you know, if you take a look at the school system in Los Angeles right now. If I was a kid and I had to go to some of these schools, man, I don't know.
No, look, here's the thing.
It's bad.
Well, not only is everything bad, then there's the food. Like, yeah. I feel like if they made a hell of a thin crust pizza, or I could get a nice hot dog or hamburger over there, I'd be like, well, I don't want to get my ass shot by Crip or Blood, and I'm doing horribly in biology and chemistry class, but their thin crust pizza is so awesome. That would entice me to actually go in there. But you have bad teachers, bad brothers, and bad food, and no incentive.
The whole thing, man.
No, really, you know, really, to me, the only incentive, if you're like we probably were, for me, was sports. I wanted to play football, and thus I had to go to school. Part of the problem is there were some guys on the football team who were getting bad grades, and so they suspended them from the football team, and those guys dropped out immediately because now just bad people and bad food.
Exactly.
And I don't know what the answer is, but it's not. I mean, it has to be music, it has to be art, it has to be sports, there has to be something enticing rather than you just being warehoused.
Well, here's one thing, you know, if you look at most civilized countries, as we are supposed to be, when you're in a 45% tax bracket or, you know, to take Denmark, for instance, everybody plays 50%.
Right.
When you're in Canada, everybody pays 50% taxes, no matter what. And they got free medical, they have free health, and they have free college.
Education, yeah. Right. Did you see 60 Minutes?
I did.
About Denmark?
Yes.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
The happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it is what it is, and, you know, we got some decisions to make.
Here, no, look, I agree, and I complain all the time. Yeah. I don't mind giving half or nearly half my money to the government. It's then driving down roads filled with potholes and passing schools I won't let my kids go to.
Yes.
That's what I mind.
Well, with the lottery. The lottery was supposed to be, we made the lottery to take care of our schools.
Don't get me started, Coolio. That's my feeling.
It sounds like somebody's putting that money in their pocket. I don't see it going to any of our schools.
I was screaming about this last week, which is there some small school system in Oregon that all this money's getting funneled toward? Because the lottery's been going on for at least 25 years.
And
I have went to schools that have gotten progressively worse. I mean, you could probably chart before lottery and after lottery, and I guarantee the test scores are higher and the dropout rate is higher and the violence is higher.
Well, you know, one of the things, this is crazy right here, one of the things that I think hurt schools was when they stopped doing discipline in schools. You know, I used to get swats from the principal.
The corporal punishment.
I used to get swats. I had a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Miss Emery? Miss Emery. She had 3 paddles.
Really? Black, ice, white,
no,
nation.
Nope. ice cream, cake, and punch.
Oh, no.
You got to pick which one you wanted.
Really?
What do you want?
They
ice cream, cake, or punch? Yeah, they were all different. They were sure. One was like a big ping pong paddle. One was this long wooden thing that looked like one of those paddles from school days.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was one of those long paddles from school days with holes in it.
Yeah, the drilled
out one.
So
when she swatted you with it, it sucked up a little meat.
Yeah.
You know, and got you a little suction.
Now, there would be stuff hanging on the wall that said Board of Education, and it was literally a 2x4.
And I'm not saying, you know, because some of that practice, you know, hurts some people. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about that, and they said, well, my brother, you know, was traumatized by one of his teachers or whatever from getting disciplined. But for me, I mean, it kind of worked because I didn't want to go see the principal. So I was trying to not see the principal.
I can dig it. I'm not into whacking kids around. On the other hand, it's hard to argue with the schools when they did versus after they stopped. And you don't have to hit a kid, but you don't have to empower them. Because nowadays, if a teacher grabs a student by the arm, the student yells, I'll sue your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the parents are mad at the teachers. Yeah. And it's really obviously the parents' fault because the parents should come in and yell at their kids for being disruptive, not yell at the teachers for reprimanding them.
Well, you know, the statistic is 9 times out of 10, if you follow a dumb kid home, you will find a dumb parent.
Oh, yes, you
Not
will.
Not all the time now. Some of y'all out there doing a really good job with your children.
Do you have kids,
10% of you?
Yes, I have 6 children.
What? Mm-hmm. What are they? What's
three
the
boys
range?
And 3 girls.
What's
the My oldest? Youngest is 12. My oldest is 20.
Wow, you've got a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I'm 44, baby. I was born August 1st, 1963. But
look at him, 6-pack abs.
This is not your daddy's. This is not your daddy's stomach.
No.
Or your boyfriend.
No, black don't crack. I've said it many times. Cooking with Coolio, name of the show. And by the way, this is not on television, right? This is on My Damn Channel?
Yes, on MyDamnChannel.com.
I got a friend who runs that thing, and it's basically... Well, it's the future. It's where we're heading. You don't have to sit around and watch your commercials. You don't have to pay for your cable. You go to MyDamnChannel.com, and you can not only see really interesting programming, but it's not censored. The man isn't saying what to do.
Do you curse on Cooking with Coolio?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I use a little profanity. But it's just, you know, to, you know, create a good punchline sometimes. Right. And, you know, it fits. And, you know, I mean, if you're on the net and you can use profanity, why not? Hey,
yeah.
You know, I that was part of the reason why I took it to the net, because I wanted to do it exactly the way I wanted to do it without anybody telling me how to do it.
My damn
it's
channel.
It's kind of like sex.
My damn channel. And you can watch Julio
you
having sex with a rump
that.
Roast, by
oh,
the
yes
way.
Yes, you can.
MyDamnChannel.com, Cooking with Coolio. Coolio, let's not wait so long in between visits next time.
We won't. Hey, I got a new album coming up.
Oh.
New album this year. The first single will probably be released in April, second single in June, and we release the album around the end of July, beginning of August.
Well,
and
wait.
I actually brought some new music.
Well, I'll tell you what, Coolio.
Playing I Got Hoes.
Did you like that?
When you come back, play and bring the album, and we'll do it then when it drops. That's the pot smoker's laugh. Good to see you, Coolio. T,
dude.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, we didn't get to this earlier, but there was the big announcement on Dance Wars. I'm going to tell you what Jerry Rice and Kenny Mayne had to say. Here's a little Lisa Rinna.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
You know, I think his biggest challenge is he's used to being in a room sitting behind a microphone.
No.
Huh?
Huh? Talking about Jason Taylor?
Huh?
We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
February 28th, The Adam Carolla Show broadcasts live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. Want to join us? Go to AdamCarolla.com to register to win a 2-night stay at the Palms Hotel and Resort. Check out the broadcast Thursday night. And Friday night, see the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. The Mighty Mighty Bosstones live at the Palms Hotel. February 29th, go to AdamCarolla.com to register to win tickets. And we'll see you in Las Vegas. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times, kiddies. T-Bone.
Yes?
Favorite part of the day, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
John McCain and Barack Obama emerged victorious after yesterday's primaries in Wisconsin and Washington. Obama took the Hawaiian Democratic caucuses as well. He has not lost a presidential primary or caucus since Super Tuesday. He's had to deflect some accusations from the Clinton campaign that he plagiarized part of a speech delivered in 06 by Bay State Governor Deval Patrick. Mrs. Obama made headlines as well. Michelle Obama was speaking at a rally in downtown Milwaukee. I don't know, maybe her phrasing was off. This isn't what she meant to say, but she's taken a lot of heat for saying this.
Let me tell you something. For the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country because it feels like hope is finally making a comeback.
Well, Cindy McCain took a little bit of a shot at Michelle Obama's comment about never having been proud of being an American before, and here's what Cindy McCain had to say.
It's an important day, not only for our race, but for our country. You are exercising your absolute right and honor to do so. I'm proud of my country. I don't know about you if you heard those words earlier. I'm very proud of my country.
I just hope, I want Barack to get into office, and I would love to shut us up with the racism thing once and for all. I'm tired of everyone saying, well, you know, of course we live in a racist country, and everyone just nods their heads like bobbleheads. I don't think we live in a racist country. I believe there are some racists in this country, just like there's some everything in this country, but I don't think it's a racist country, and I'm tired of that. I really am. I think A, it's unfair, and B, it makes me depressed walking around in an environment. It's like somebody saying, well, you know, you're stupid, right? We're all dumb, right? Yes. And everyone just nods their head. We're not a racist country. We're not. And when he gets voted in, it will prove my point that I've been saying for many years. And I'm tired of all you pussies out there that, oh, you're telling me there's no racism? Of course there's racism. There's everything. That doesn't mean, you know, there's tuberculosis and smallpox. That doesn't mean it's a plague. That doesn't mean everyone you know is that way. Oh, well, come on, Carolla, you grow up, you're on the blue state, you don't know. No, I know people make racist jokes, and I know people have racist thoughts. I'm saying we don't act on it we're not nearly as bad as we love to think we are. Many countries have us beat.
Speaking of other countries, some pundits are saying that if Obama gets elected, that's really going to help our image with other countries. Not only is he African-American, but he was raised partially in a Muslim environment.
Mm. Awesome. F those other countries. I'm tired of trying to make friends with everyone. I'd rather them just be scared. And by the way, here's what works with Muslim countries. They're scared of us. That's the only thing that works. As I've said many times, why do you think women get treated like they get treated in Muslim countries? Why? They're smaller. We can beat them up. Thus, put the pillowcase on your head, bitch, and stand 4 steps behind me when
right
we
now?
Walk. Yes, and I'm going to need the keys to the Astro van because you ain't driving. That's what Muslim countries respond to. Here's what I like. I like them being scared of us. I like them thinking we're aggressive. I like them thinking we're badasses. Because when we don't do things that way, they think we're weak, and thus they think they can do what they want. F you, Muslim countries. You should be scared of us. I don't want to make you proud of us. I don't want you to think we're progressive. I want you to think we're a bunch of maniac cowboys who love blowing you up.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Idiots. Oh, once we gain the respect of the Muslim countries, all our problems are magically going to go away. That's the way they work.
Don't mess with Texas.
That's exactly the way that retarded caveman culture works. Hey, man, once we respect you, everything's cool. Hey, you Jews are awesome. You're family-oriented. You take care of your businesses and your people. We respect that. Now we're going to blow your ass up. Guess what works with Muslim countries? Walls and rockets. We're going to build a wall, then we're going to fire some rockets into you and blow you up.
What do I take from this?
What works?
You are pro-Hillary.
I'm for Barack, but not so other countries will like us more. No. I want them to hate us at all times. You want to know why?
Why?
Because the day they stop hating us is the day we've joined them. The day we're not twice as free, twice as prosperous, twice as everything. They will stop hating us when we join them in their dirt-floored little hovels, and I don't want to go there.
It would probably also help if we stopped supporting Israel. They'd probably hate us a lot less.
Here's all I know.
Strategery.
Here's all I know is human componentry. Humans hate the prosperous person. You hate the guy at your job, the guy who makes salesmen of the month or the salesman of the year. You work in a realty firm, and this guy each year he sells the most commercial real estate, and the boss leases him a brand new Porsche Cayenne. Everyone on that floor hates that guy. Why? He wins. He pulls up in the shiny car and he gets the space right next to the front door. As long as you're that guy, everyone else on that floor will hate you. Now, there'll be a handful of folks that respect you, but by and large, the guy who's not selling any real estate, He's going to hate you, and he's going to hate the fact that you have that parking space and you're driving the new Cayenne. I want to be the guy in the new parking space with the Cayenne. F you people.
So we got to sell him some real estate? I'm confused. I
commercial real estate.
No. I think it's another part of the human componentry, as you put it, to want to befriend that guy, the salesman of the year, and tag along and hang out with him so you can see how he does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there are hangers-on to successful people.
I agree, but you're not factoring in a retarded religion that forbids them from hanging out with that guy who doesn't believe like they believe.
Well, we weren't here yesterday, and I don't know if you've mentioned why.
Hmm?
You had to go to Chicago.
Oh, you left town? Yeah, I was swinging with Oprah. Lady O.
Lady O.
The big O. I hugged her.
Ugh. How did she smell?
She smelled like money.
Did she?
Yeah, she smelled like a mint.
Oh, so.
Smelled like freshly minted $100 bills.
So excited.
And I pinched her hard and she paid off like a slot
really?
Machine.
Just the coins came right out of her?
Silver dollars. Kennedy silver dollars start coming out of her vagina.
Oh, was it embarrassing to reach under there to grab them?
Hell no. I put,
put a bucket right under there.
I took the hat that Mario was wearing and I put it right under her. That's right.
Cannot wait to see all of this on Thursday.
Mm.
I think that's when your episode airs.
Yeah, awesome.
It's going to be hard to follow the blue man. You'll see it this weekend when you watch all the T-Boat episodes from this week. But
I did catch some of the blue man.
Did you?
What the hell?
He was drinking colloidal silver, like 10-ounce tumblers every day. People, it's one of these health food things.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Mm-hmm. On Oprah, this guy turned blue.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
They were promoting the hell out of it, and sure enough, the guy was really blue, and it stained his skin. He will never be a...
I swear to God, I said three words I've never said before, which is, let's watch Oprah. I don't know what the blue man is.
I had a funny episode happen at Oprah at Harpo yesterday. I'm sitting in there with, like, some Latin heartthrob and... Jason Taylor and all the other celebrities. The guys and the girls have been separated. The Dancing with the Stars
right.
people.
Sure.
I'm sitting in there with a bunch of dudes, Penn, Gillette, and all these guys. And we're all sitting in this sort of room with some, you know, finger food. And everyone's getting made up. And the women are in another room getting made up. And we're all just sitting there. And all of a sudden, the 42-inch plasma fires up. And the show begins. Mm. And somebody, and I think it was Jason Taylor from the Miami Dolphins, turns around and yells, hey, shh, Oprah's on. And everyone turned and focused on the TV. And I said, do you ever think it's happened in the history of human existence that there were six straight guys sitting in a room and somebody turned around and yelled, hey, whoa, Oprah's on. Let's
go. And all of them rapped with
attention. Everyone just shut up immediately like, hey, Jason, Pro Bowl talk about the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
That can wait. Oprah's on.
Tell me at halftime of Oprah.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the big announcement was made on Dance Wars, and they did kind of a fake sports center called Dance Center with Kenny Mayne, Lisa Rinna, who was once on Dancing with the Stars, and Jerry Rice, who was also on Dancing with the Stars. And here's how it went down when they announced you.
Adam Carolla. He has a syndicated radio show called The Adam Carolla Show. He's done all sorts of things on Comedy Central. He brings a lot to the table.
I think his biggest challenge is he's used to being in a room sitting behind a microphone. He's never been in front of millions of people dancing.
Well, he's on television. He's got a movie coming out in March.
But that's not dancing in front of 20 million people,
no.
Kenny.
Jerry, thoughts?
The thing about him, he has a lot of fans also.
He's a comedian. Funny and fans. What could be more important?
Well, Kenny, if you had those fans, maybe you'll stay on the show just a little longer.
Or if you're funny.
It was actually pretty good.
Someone spray painted orange is busting your chops.
Yeah, that's rough, isn't it? Although Kenny Mayne, and I'm not kidding, was wearing blue eyeshadow.
Oh, really?
He had a full face of orange makeup and blue eyeshadow and sequin shirt.
This is my greatest fear. My greatest fear is 2 years from now, I'm leaving the house and my wife's like, sweetie, you're wearing a burnt orange unitard and a codpiece. Yeah. What of it?
Becomes the norm.
And what's with the eyeliner? What? Not enough? Wow. We got to get into some couples therapy. Listen, sweetie, I'm putting on the capizios and I'm just going to hit the parquet for about 4 or 5 hours. I'll be back.
Well, your wife called in after the big announcement, and she made it perfectly clear that you are not a good dancer currently.
Yes. Although she would never know because I've never actually danced before.
Except at your wedding, and I hadn't heard that you were drunk with your pants down.
I was sloppy drunk by the time the dancing began.
So maybe that's not the way to go. But Lynette maybe doesn't have the highest hopes. But Vegas, Vegas, the Wynn Casino race and sports book, has you with 22-1 odds, which isn't bad considering Penn Jillette has 30-1 odds. And, of course, the ringer, Christy Yamaguchi, 4-1 odds.
Well, those odds are good, getting good until I call one Jeff Galooly. Yes, buddy.
Even the score.
Wow. Time to dust off the Easton. Jeff Galooly, who has to be 800 pounds by now.
He's got to be.
Jeff, get out the softball bat. I got another gig for you.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
I was talking to my little Smurfette, my Julianne, my little
partner.
Pixie. Yeah, we were flying home. She's like, you want to practice? We got to get our practicing in. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I guess we could practice. And she's like, I got to go to Nashville because I'm going to do a country music convention on the 27th and 28th. So if you want to come out to Nashville, I said, yeah, it's going to be a great conversation with the old lady. Sweetie, I'm heading out to Nashville with the piping hot 19-year-old to hang out for. We'll be practicing.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
We joke, but she's really fine with it. Right?
This is what you woke me up for.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Katie. Katie?
Yes?
Hang on, sweetie Petey. I want to talk to you in a second.
Okay.
And also, I will walk you guys through the Oprah experience. Not just what I did on Oprah, but how it works backstage, what it looks like, how when I squeezed her, all that cash came out of her. We'll take a break, be back with Oprah next. This stuff.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In case you haven't heard the news, Adam is going to be on the next season of
Dancing with the Stars. Yes, effing way.
You took yesterday off to go visit with Oprah Winfrey. Let's find out what happened on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, first off, I was just adding up how much money it cost me to travel for free.
How much?
$100 in tips.
Between here to the Oprah Show and back.
Yes, here's how it works. The guy picks you up at your house
right.
in the town car, and he drops you off at LAX.
ABC pays for that.
But you got to give the guy $20.
That's not included, the tip?
It is, but you're an a-hole if you don't give the guy because they know who you are.
Good to know.
All right. Then you land.
Ticket takers don't know. Everyone who gets a tip knows who you are.
Yeah. Then you land in Chicago and you say, oh, there's a chick driver. And she says, no, I'm not the chick driver. I'm the liaison. I meet you at the gate. Awesome. I walk you and your luggage out to the curb, and then you get into the limo.
Nice.
Well, you got to flip Granny $10 because she's been standing with you carrying your jacket out to the curb. So you tip her $10. Then you get in the limousine. That guy drives you to the hotel. There's $20 for him. Then the guy picks you up the next morning and drives you to Oprah. There's $20. Then if you get a different guy, if you get the same guy, you can do it. Back to the airport, $20. On the plane, back to LAX. Mm-hmm. Now the guy picks you up. And the last thing I did last night at 10:30 is give another guy $20. You don't realize. Oh, and the one other one. When you land in Chicago, you pay the liaison chick $10 or $20 who just stands next to you and stands next to your luggage and walkie-talkies to the guy. You pay her. Then you pay the guy who drives you to the hotel. But let's not forget this. You pulled up. He popped the trunk, and a guy in an overcoat ran out and grabbed your suitcase and is dragging it inside the Omni Hotel. That guy's going to need $10, too. It ends up costing more to travel for free. All right. So, Oprah, first off, drove there in a limousine next to Penn of Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette. No worse guy to sit in a limousine next to than him. First off, he has a kind of Tourette's where he swears in a sort of a way that is not only mother effer, but it conjures up doing sexual things to animals and things like that, is really, again, he's an atheist, and he's just going to make sure he gets a one-way ticket to hell, even if it doesn't exist. But he is 6'7", 275 pounds, and sits in a way that you would think his testicles are the size of one of those Pilates balls. I mean, he cannot get his knees further apart. And he's also one of these guys who's 6'6", but wears the lineman boots, too, with the 3-inch heels. So he's wearing these huge boots, and he's sitting. He's literally got one knee resting against the back of the driver's head, and the other one is pressed up against the back of the window of a stretch. And I'm sitting next to him in a fetal position while he cranks on the Lord for 10 miles. So we did that. We had everybody else. And let me say this quickly one more time with the limo. Tell me what you guys think of this policy. And everyone who drives a car, tell me what you think of this policy. I would like it. How about this? I get into the back of limos all the time. The first thing I do is pick up the cell phone and have conversations, complaining loudly about people you may or may not have heard of, situations, what have you. The driver doesn't turn the radio on because he doesn't want to interfere with me. It's not his role. He has no choice but to sit there and listen to my intimate conversation. How about this as a policy? Now, I never want to roll up the divider, because I feel like that's a slap in the face to the guy. It feels weird. I don't want to be one of those guys. How about this policy for every guy who drives a stretch limo? Sir, I will put the partition up if that's okay with you. If you require anything, simply roll it down and then roll it up. And that's it. It's rolled up. You sit back there. You can receive oral, argue with your girlfriend or boyfriend on your cell phone, masturbate, get into the mini bar, masturbate in the mini bar, whatever it is you want to do while that partition is up. Why not? Because would you roll that partition up?
I wouldn't, for the same reason you wouldn't.
Right, but you would wish it was up.
I always would wish it was up so I could have a private conversation.
You have a limousine with a, why isn't that just the de facto, this is, I will pick you up with the screen rolled up.
Coming up.
If you would like it brought down, I will do it. Yes?
Coming up.
That should be the default setting.
Thank you. Never is, and I never have the huevos to roll it up, even though I always want to do it. All right, Oprah. You pull into Harpo Productions right there in the middle of Chicago. There are 700 scared white chicks who work there with eating disorders. And they're all carrying 9 clipboards.
Sounds like a great job.
And they run you all over the place. And the place is massive and it's endless. It is just a massive compound. And there's tons of pictures of guess who? Standing in front
Dr. Phil.
Tons of poor black schoolgirls in Soweto or wherever the hell she is. They run you around. Everyone is scared to death. But she generally and genuinely seemed happy and seemed excited to be there. I gave her a hug. I told my wife I would hug Oprah, even if it was by her leg and security was tackling me, I would hug Oprah.
Did she seem amenable to the hug?
She hugged and she did the arm squeeze. She did the squeeze on the arm thing. And I said to her, sweetie Petey, I know you don't know my background. And I know you got Nate Berkus over there who's doing all your design. But if you need a builder and you need someone who knows what he's doing, I'm your man, because that's my dream. My dream is to leave all of you behind, go on Oprah as the home improvement guy, be the next Dr. Phil, crap out a few books, do a couple makeovers on a couple rumpus rooms for Iraqi veterans, and the next thing you know, I'm the toast of the town. So I gave her that speech. Beautiful, upscale facilities. You could tell people were running and not walking, and it was funny. Almost exclusively all women, but there were a couple of guys. And those couple of guys, I passed their cubicle, and we locked eyes. And it's that look of, I'm getting, I gave you that look. Like, you know in the movies where they're going to spring a guy from prison?
Yeah.
But the guy has to become a prisoner in order to get in, and there's the one guy's going to get out, and as he walks past the guy's cell in slow motion, he gives a knowing nod.
Yeah.
You know we're making a break. I gave the guy the look, and he knew what it meant. Leave the cubicle behind. Don't take any valuables. No time. I'm going to start a diversionary fire. I'll do a shoulder blow. This place, buddy. I'm going to get you your huevos back.
Salvation. In the form of Corolla.
So you have a couple Harpo employees living with you now?
Mm-hmm. I got them out. Well, actually, I just set them free.
They ran.
I let them go in a wooded area. All right. Well, take ourselves a break. What a shocker. I start complaining about limo drivers. And didn't put it up to Oprah. I'll fill you in the rest. Well, that's about it. Nothing monumental. About what I expected.
Maybe Katie can call back tomorrow, too.
All right, Katie. Quick break. Back to wrap it up. Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. Stuttering John Melendez. I realize people think I'm a doofus. 866-50-GET-IT. Free weekend in Las Vegas. Sarah Silverman's effing Andy Rooney. Sarah Silverman's going to be in Vegas. Speaking of Vegas, she's going to be at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino this Saturday night in Vegas. Coolio, Cooking with Coolio on mydamnchannel.com. Check that out. Also, I want to thank 7-Eleven. They brought over a nice couple thermoses full of their beautiful, wonderful brew. Fresh ground, fresh brewed 7-Eleven coffee. Try it today, and you can hear this show and much, much more from Crank Yankers and everything in between at free2hd@adamcarolla.com. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. How about we call you douchebag?